Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
CNN is moving from Blog Talk Radio after 17 years because BTR is quitting. We are trying several sites that might work. As we get closer to a decision for our new home, we will let you all know so that you can follow us there. NWCR will live through this little bump in the road, and so will CNN. This will be a new chapter in our future life here at CNN and NWCR, so stay tuned. We will have a great show for you to follow us to.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show, Sundays 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
Americans who love our great nation, many of us patriots have watched as our country over the last 4 years has been led down the path to the dark side, all because we keep listening to the lamestream lying liberal media through CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC, and others who totally ignore the truth because they are infected with Trump derangement syndrome. It is time for a great American reset. So shut down those lying media outlets and tune in to places like Newsmax, Breitbart, and Pinion Post News, One America News, and of course, Conservative Nation Media, where we explore the lies and distortions they tell and then inject the truth into them where the others won't. CNN now is looking for truth tellers to join our network and help save America from these traitors. If you have an idea for an America-saving show, call us at 505-317-8741 and leave us a message, or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com, telling us of your ideas, your show name, and the night you want to be on. And know you have joined the right side, where America always wins.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans apparently have no option to
do. Show me where it said that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
They go low, he can.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought you should have punched him in the face. So even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. Yeah. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we're in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Well, hello, folks. We are going into a kind of like an unprecedented 5 weeks in a row now. Amazing, isn't it? I guess Blog Talk Radio saying that they're going to shut down means that they finally figured out how to get themselves to work, I guess. Some of the things that I've been watching in the news tonight, we've got things like from California. Some of the people who live in Los Angeles are now blaming big oil for the fire. Where did that idiocy come from? I guess it's just liberal thinking that it can't be government, so it has to be something else. But I found out today that Joe Biden, after he leaves office, says he'll probably write a book. To me, it's probably going to be something like a sci-fi feature called The Juicers of La La Land or something like that. I mean, his tales of what is going on is no less fantastical, it seems. From Breitbart News comes this one. Joe Biden falsely declares states ratified Equal Rights Amendment, ERA, into the Constitution. President Joe Biden today, on Friday, made the bizarre proclamation that the proposed Equal Rights Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was ratified by 38 states to become part of the U.S. Constitution, an announcement that is legally dead wrong and a disgraceful disservice to the country and the rule of law. The Constitution requires that any amendment must be proposed by two-thirds of the House, 290 people, and two-thirds of the Senate, 67. After that, a majority, over 50% in the legislatures of three-fourths of the states, or 38, must vote to ratify the proposed amendment to make it a part of the Constitution. All this has happened only 27 times in American history, starting with the Bill of Rights in 1791. Congress proposed the ERA in 1972 as a top priority of the far left. It says, quote, equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex, unquote. While officially it would ensure that men and women have equal rights, legal scholars and top elected Republicans explain in great detail how it would instead abolish all sorts of vital legal distinctions and protections. These would range from blocking even the most modest restrictions on abortion through the moment of birth. And hopefully my microphone's working. Nobody's saying anything, so it must be.
Yep, it's working.
To allowing men in women's sports and locker rooms, to making it potentially illegal to have a Father's Day and Mother's Day on the calendar as holidays. Hello, Joe. But as in several other proposed amendments, such as the 18th Amendment, Prohibition, and the 21st Amendment, Repealing Prohibition, Congress's proposed resolution included a 7-year deadline for states to ratify the ERA. And in later amendments, Congress continued to insert this deadline language in the joint resolution proposing the amendment, as Congress did in 1972 with the ERA. In its 1921 decision, Dillon versus Gloss, the Supreme Court held that it is constitutional for Congress to attach such deadlines to proposed amendments. The ERA's 7-year deadline came and went with only 35 states ratifying the proposal. In fact, during that time, 5 states that originally voted to ratify then voted to rescind that ratification. So it is likely that only 30 states voted to ratify before the deadline. In 1978, Congress passed what is called an extension of the deadline by another 3 years to 1982. The Office of Legal Counsel, or the OLC, in the U.S. Department of Justice under the leadership of liberal Democrats during the administration of President Jimmy Carter, issued an opinion in 1977 saying that Congress could extend the deadline, but that once it expired, the ERA would be brought back only by starting over with the entire amendment process again. That extension was likely unconstitutional, as OLC in 2020 under President Donald Trump later concluded, effectively repealing the 1977 opinion, especially because it was passed only by a simple majority in the Congress instead of a two-thirds supermajority, but it makes no difference because no additional states voted to ratify by 1982. The proposed ERA was finished. Even the liberal lion, who was the foremost public champion of ERA, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, wrote that the ERA proposal had failed and she encouraged lawmakers to begin again the process of proposing the ERA anew to the states. But liberal Democrats continued to push for ratification, arguing that the 7-year deadline was unconstitutional, regardless of what the Supreme Court had held in 1921. At their urging, 3 more states voted to ratify the dead proposal over the subsequent years, most recently Virginia in 2020, when the Old Dominion was under unified Democrat government. Some leftists then claimed that the ERA had been ratified by 38 states. None of that matters to the federal government, however, because the OLC's 2020 opinion is the official interpretation of the law for the executive branch. As part of the executive branch, the National Archives cannot count those final 3 ratification votes and declare the ERA ratified. And in fact, even Biden's own OLC reaffirmed in 2022 the legal conclusion of the 2020 OLC conclusion opinion under Trump, and the ERA has not been ratified. OLC under Biden concluded that Congress had authority to insert the 7-year deadline as a condition for ratification, and that deadline has not later been extended. Thus, the 1972 proposal for an amendment had failed to garner the requisite 38 states for ratification. But nonetheless, Biden is now saying it has been. Imagine that. I can't wait to be able to read his book and see what kind of fantasies are in that. Hello, everybody. Hello, Lorianne. How are you tonight?
I am doing all right. How are you?
Oh, doing okay so far, I think. It's been kind of a long week. I've been doing all kinds of things, doing shows over on Podbean to see if I can get to the point where I can have 3 hours at least. So starting this next month. So that ought to be interesting to see what happens when the first of the month comes around, because I should have that ability right now as soon as the first of the month comes around.
Yeah, that's kind of a nice thing. I mean, you start out at 2 hours, but then, you know, you can earn enough to get, like you said, up to 5 hours. So it seems like mm-hmm. Podbean has some pretty good features. And then, you know, you were saying, like, in the chat room, you know, if people are logged in and in the chat room, then they want to speak, you can bring them on as a speaker.
Yeah.
You know, so, of course, that's something to test out as well, because I'm hoping that, you know, it works on the Podbean app, like on your phone. So if you're not dialing it in, if you have the app on your phone, then you can utilize the app to do the chat and bring people in, that sort of thing, instead of having a direct dial phone number. But, of course, you know, you have a mixer and everything, so if you did do the one number with a free conference call, then, you know, you could merge them together and play with that as well as a backup. But it sounds like Podbean is kind of, especially for the money, is kind of the way to go. And, you know, it's reasonably priced and has a lot of good features to it, and has, you know, distribution abilities and stuff like that too. I mean, when I was poking around on it, you know, it seems, like I said, you get a lot of bang for your buck with Podbean. It isn't, you know, 100% the same as Blog Talk like we're used to. But as far as an alternative goes, I think it's, you know, it's definitely a good contender.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was that thing that I'd read last week about how you could actually add up so that you end up with 5 hours. Well, we never really went 5 hours. Well, we came close. But I found out that, you know, all I have to do is actually do 12 shows a month to be able to get to 12. Well, we could actually go farther than that if I could get other people to join and come in with me. And that way each show would equal out to another show on the network. So that would actually kind of keep us, even on a bad month when we didn't do that many, that would keep us at least on 8 shows a month. So, which kind of seems like a pretty cool thing. Hello, Joe. How are you today?
What's going on? Well, I typed up the lawsuit for Blog Talk Radio, and only one person said sign me up. So, you know, obviously nobody wants to pursue anything, you know, compared to the other network. So,
I,
you know,
haven't even been in my email, so.
Yeah, well, no, I'm not, I don't know, like I said, I sent it out to everybody that I could. I don't know if you got a copy or not, but I think I might have, I'm not sure. I know, you know, I mean, this, you know, you got to pursue this stuff, you know, I mean, if we're going to let Blog Talk Radio rip us off, then why go spend money someplace else, you know, I mean, but, you know, that doesn't make any sense, you know, I mean, you know, you gotta stand up for your rights. I mean, you know, but so it's been a bad week anyway for me, because my grandmother has a home care nurse that lives with her, right? And so I'm you know, checking up on her, and she's got this Jamaican woman here now, and I've just had it out with her. I mean, these people are just, I mean, I can see, I mean, just totally, when she cooks, she stinks up the whole house. I mean, nasty. I mean, these people are just weird, flat out weird. I can't understand her when she speaks. You're with that stupid accent that they have, you know. I mean, it's just totally. I can see why people don't get along. You know, it's just different culture, different way of living. I mean, just nasty. You know, I mean, and she doesn't know what she's doing. You know, and. You know, it's just, it's a long story, but, you know, I had it out with the agency today, and they said, well, we don't like your tone. Listen, we're the customer. I don't care how you like our tone. She's the guest in this house. I don't have to obey her. We don't have to live by her rules. She's here to do a job, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, she's had a home care nurse for the last 7 years, and we've never had home until now, you know, but. Out here now, I'm just, that's what I want, you know? So, you know, just nasty person, man. Nasty, dirty, you know, just a different, you know, she's from Jamaica. You can't understand her. You know, just weirdo, just a weirdo. I mean, just disgusting, you know.
Yeah.
But so it's been a bad week. But they're going to replace her next week, so they're going to send somebody new. You know, hopefully it's an American. You know, not somebody off the boat. You know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, where do they get these people from? I mean, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, I don't know. But this is what you got out there.
They're coming over the southern border.
yeah, it's got to be. She doesn't know what she's doing. I mean, I mean, don't you have to be trained, a license to, how do you send somebody anyway that, you know, to take care? I mean, I don't know. It's just, I just don't see how someone from that type of background can mix well with an elderly white woman. You know, I just don't, it's just two different ways of living, you know. I mean, we're different people. We're not the same. You know, and people have to realize that. But you got these bleeding hearts out there. We're all one. You know, we're all equal, and you know, and we're not. We're different. We're different.
Yep, we're
you
different.
You know, and that's the way
it is. Yep. One of the things I was looking at on the news, this whole thing about TikTok.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's gonna be interesting as heck. You know, it's like they were saying on Newsmax, you know, with them shutting down TikTok, if it actually goes through, you know, there's going to be a lot of parents who are going to have a lot of pissed off kids. Well, you know, I've never been on TikTok, so I don't know. But my wife has. She likes watching those videos they get on there.
How is it a national security threat, though? How is it a national security threat? I don't understand. You know, I think
really
it's just free speech being shut down.
I don't really understand that one either, because the one that the people are turning to now, I think it's red line or red tape or red something. That one's also a Chinese company, so it's you're pretty much going shutting down a Chinese company. And what's coming back in is another Chinese company. So what the heck is the difference?
Yeah. Well, maybe they could regulate it. Maybe it's just something new they haven't gotten a hold of yet. But, yeah, I disagree with that, them shutting down the TikTok. I don't like that because, again, it's even though it's a dirty platform and there's a lot of garbage on there, you know, but still, it's freedom, you know. Doing a Blog Talk Radio, I believe that has something to do with it too. It's free. They're shutting down free speech. They're regulating. I think Apple is sold out too. I think that's why he's back on. And you know, it's there's no real free speech out there. Everything is regulated. And you know what thing I noticed about TikTok too is that I put a video up there once and I got like 1,200 views within like a couple hours. And they don't, you know, and you put something up on YouTube, you get 12 views. They shadow ban you. You know, I think that's what it is that it's the freedom of it. You get your message out on TikTok, and they don't want that.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's I can see all kinds of problems coming if this actually really takes hold and it actually happens, because, like you said, it is shutting down free speech in a form. You know, it might not be my speech, but it is somebody's speech. So, and you know, the Constitution doesn't specifically say, you know, if it goes against Robert's speech, we got to do something about it. No, it doesn't. It says if it goes against everyone's speech, you know, it's so it's kind of an interesting situation. It's going to be interesting to watch this happening, because I think there's going to be all kinds of pushback on it.
I mean, I don't know. You guys are talking about that Podbeam or whatever. I think I used that a few years ago, about 5 years ago, 4 years ago, one time. I think I used it a couple of times. But, I mean, if it were, I mean, does it work for? I mean, what do you think in your opinion? I mean,
bumper music and things like that, I do them in stereo. When they hit here, they're not stereo. On Podbean, they are.
Oh.
And one of the things that I've noticed is, like, if I right now needed to add something that would I'd be able to use in just like a minute or two. I wouldn't be able to do it because it wouldn't be through loading by that time. And with Podbean, if I suddenly got a thing that I needed to use in about 30 or 40 seconds, I can download it. If I've got it on my computer, I can have it recorded, and then I can download it, and it's ready in just about 5 seconds. And I can use it in about 5 seconds. So it's something that I've found out that's actually a better thing than here on Blog Talk Radio, because like if I suddenly had to something that I needed to record, the recording part of it would take the same amount of time, but you know, just uploading it to the studio takes a heck of a lot shorter time on Podbean than it does here. Plus the fact it records everything and it comes through as stereo, because I've got several of my bumpers that have music that come out of one speaker that doesn't come out of the other. And it's, and on Blog Talk Radio, it just plays. It's everything's out of both speakers. And on Podbean, it has a tendency, it plays them as stereo, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
but the sound,
you know, but does everyone get access to it now? Like for instance, like you put that's on the internet, but are they able to shadow ban it and regulate it where and just block it so people can't get access? Like TikTok, you put something on TikTok, like I was just saying, it goes out everywhere. Everyone can see it, you know, and Podbean like that?
As far as I know, probably. I did a show, I've done about 4 shows this week there just to see what would happen. And on one of them, somebody actually did come in, and it was somebody who was, I think, has a thing here on Blog Talk Radio, and they were looking over there too, and they came in and they were asking me questions about it. And it was after they left that I found out that if I'd have just clicked on his icon, I could have brought him in and talked to him.
Can you put the link to your show in the chat room? The link to your show that you did?
Yeah, I probably can. I'd have to find it. I'd have to go into Podbean and find it, but let's see. Yeah, it's right there.
Because it's right here. You can, so I was just wondering if you had a shareable link. Yeah, if you had a shareable link, because that's important, you know.
I just might have. I know I've got on my when I go to Podbean, I've got my live stream, and there's 9 shows there. And one of them I did December 21st of 2024, and when I was just kind of goofing around with things back then. And then I did one on the 22nd, then I went one on the 28th, 29th, 11th, the 11th of January, 12th. I did 2 on the 12th. I did 1 on the 15th, 1 on the 16th. So I was kind of goofing around trying to find out what was going on. The one I did on the 15th, I actually had a guy come in, and he actually gave me a whole bunch of likes and everything. I think I had 11 likes on that one show alone just from him.
Yeah.
But if I'd have clicked on his icon when he was in the chat room, I could have had him come in as a speaker. So, I have to do is just get people there to be able to go into the chat room. If they're in the chat room, I can click on them and get them to be speakers. You know, so they can come in and talk like we can here. It's more of a like Lorianne said, it's more of a direct connect thing. Type thing, because there's no phone number unless, of course, we go through the way she was talking about with a free conference call and then kind of mute, putting the two together or something. And I'm not really sure how to do that. But I know I've added all of my shows onto Podbean. I tried to do it the other day, and turns out they're already there. Now all I got to do is get Blog Talk Radio out of that and put it into Podbean, and that goes beyond what I know how to do. So I'm going to probably have to ask Lorianne for help on that one. But it seems to be
cool. Lorianne, technical support.
Absolutely, yeah. But one of the things
I
found out.
I did put the link to your channel on Podbean in the chat room. That's in the chat room, go ahead and go to that link. And then once you sign up, then you can follow Robert's show there. And then you'll get email notifications and stuff, same as Blog Talk, whenever he does a show. And And we can kind of start spreading the word there.
Yeah, but I've noticed that listening to the two shows in the archives of them, Podbean has better sound than Blog Talk Radio does. It's not much better, but you can hear it. I've noticed that the sound is a little bit better through my speakers anyway. So,
you know, I've heard that from others too, that, you know, there's better audio clarity with Podbean, you know,
mm-hmm.
and Blog Talk's been kind of famous for kind of having shitty audio. and I've heard from other people that have used Podbean, that it is better. It just kind of does a better job. And I think, doesn't it have some controls within it as
yeah.
well? I don't
Actually,
know. They just
I,
do it, yeah, like a better
that's
job.
That's one of the things that I was screwing around with my shows. The very first one I did after the 22nd, I was using my – I have to use my headphones. I can't use my mic. I haven't been able to figure out how to get that to work yet because it doesn't seem to. I did a show in there where I used my regular mic, and the only thing that showed up was the audios. But it was all there. I mean, I guess the microphone just maybe wasn't turned up enough or something, so I couldn't hear anything. But if I'd have turned up the volume, I might have heard something. Something had to be there because the whole show was there. But I've noticed that inside the studio down at the bottom is a volume control for that microphone, and I've pretty much been adjusting on that to make sure that it's about the same volume as my audio. And because the first time I did that, I went and played my audios and then about blew my eardrums out when I started talking. So I had to adjust that down. But at least you're able to adjust things and get things adjusted so that it's more the sound that you want. And then your audios, there are three volume controls on those. So you can make them low, medium, or high. And I've been doing them on medium, and that's about the same as what they are here. But that one that you had mentioned the other day, that here the music was too loud, and it was drowning out my voice. That one seems to be fine on Podbean.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, and I think it has something to do with how Blog Talk, like. I mean, I remember having to redo, like, my intros and stuff several times because once I uploaded it to Blog Talk, then, like, Blog Talk's own compression gets involved, and
yeah.
then the audio isn't right, you know. So it sounds perfectly fine, you know, when I've recorded it, and I think it's okay, but then, you know, Blog Talk, I think, compresses it too much or something to
yeah.
make the file smaller, and then then the audio ends up of that, you know, quite a bit different than how you originally record it. And so that's kind of one of the reasons why I put off redoing my intro, because I'm like, God, I don't want to go through this pain in the ass again, you know?
Yeah, and I was thinking the same thing, you know.
You get it right.
I might have to change the night of my show, you know, depending on what goes on. Because one of the things Tammy keeps saying is, I wish you'd change the night of your shows, because on Friday nights, if we get paid, she likes to go out and do something. Well, when I do my show, we can't. But it's kind of interesting.
Well,
I've been enjoying.
I'm probably going to be taking a hiatus for a while, so you could change it to Sunday nights.
Yeah.
You
know. I've had my show on Saturday nights, and I've had it on Friday nights, and I think I've had it on Thursdays there for a while too. So I'm not really sure, but it's kind of a learning process with Podbean, having to go through and try and figure out just where the volumes have to be set so that everything is about the same volume, because that first show I did, where I set the volume of the microphone to where I thought would be just about perfect, and I about blew my brains out with the sound coming out of the speakers, and I thought, holy crap, got to change that one. So, but
well, I
it's,
think the
it's,
learning curve is going to be that way with just about anything, honestly,
oh,
because you
absolutely.
Know we're so used to Blog Talk for so long. And, you know, if you remember, like, I like that it has more of those audio controls, you know, like you're talking about, because that's something that I was wishing Blog Talk had, you know, so that, you know, especially the host, host's voice shouldn't be the one that's drowned out. You know what I mean? When the host is speaking, I'm thinking, you know, that audio should be the priority over anybody else, you know, because you're the host of the show. And a lot of times when you're speaking and other people are speaking and you're trying to get a word in, you know, we barely hear you.
Yeah.
And
well,
so I
that
wish
would
this
be different there.
Would
I could probably
have some kind of functionality like that.
Yeah, I could probably blow everybody apart on that one. But that's like the volume I use for it is it's one of those sliding volume things like on the audios here. And move it about a quarter of an inch in, and you're way too loud. So it's really sensitive on that one. So, but it seems to be pretty cool. I like that. Plus, the studio is black and gray, so it's not bright in your face like when I'm doing Blog Talk Radio. As everything's white there, but it's actually, I've been enjoying myself doing things like that. Well, I just went back to the studio of Blog Talk Radio. They're kind of black and too, but like where everybody talks in the chat room, it's white with black letters. There, it isn't. It just I can't really explain what it's like, and it's there is a difference there, but it's not as stark a difference as Blog Talk Radio is. But I remember when I first started with Blog Talk Radio, they didn't have any volume controls in the audios or anywhere else, and I actually told them they need to put volume controls in the audio so we can adjust the volume of them. And about a couple months later, there were some, and I thought, well, that's pretty cool. They took my advice. I don't know if they did. Probably somebody else gave them that idea too. But
It was probably a lot of hosts that were asking for the same thing, so they finally implemented it, which makes sense because you know, with no volume control, I mean, you know, 1 minute you're playing a clip and you can barely hear it or understand it, and then the next clip you play, it's like blasting everybody's ears out, and you got to be able to adjust that.
Junction, I'm saying that in Junction files, they would not be blog talk down because there's regulation and rules with the internet that if they provide a service, especially when this is having to do with the First Amendment, and people have paid already, if they can't give them a correct accounting as to why they're shutting down, you know, or I forgot what the rule is. I'd have to re-look it up, but they could be forced to continue providing the service. Okay, because they're not paying for anything. We've already paid for it, you know.
Yeah.
So, but like I said, I can't get everybody to get on board. You know, it's hard. Everybody wants to bicker, and you know, and everyone's got their own ideas about doing things instead of taking a chance, you know. If I got 10, 15 people to go on a class action, that would be, we could probably get an injunction and stop them, know, and continue on.
Well, I just looked in my emails and I didn't see anything there, so.
Yeah, I don't know if I sent it to you or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I got it via email. You sent the template to me on Facebook.
Yeah, I sent it to you on Facebook.
But not via email.
Oh, well, I could probably get it because I can go into Lorianne's Facebook page too, so.
Yeah, I sent it to Lorianne on Facebook. Yeah, I think I sent it to Pianchi. I sent one to Pianchi.
Yeah, on Messenger.
I sent it to Sally. So.
Yeah, I know I get emails every weekend from Sally telling me what's going to be on her show. So that's actually a pretty good idea, sending out things like that. I just never actually did it, just but she's got a good idea there. So you're feeling better now, huh, Joe? Maybe.
I'm sorry.
I was noticing in the chat room you were saying that you had was just getting over something too. I think.
No. I was just
Cindy was saying that Donnie is sick, and I hope he gets better.
Oh yeah.
But it was. but we've. I was really, at least the only thing I can say about this whole thing with Blog Talk Radio is at least they gave us a little bit of time to be able to figure something out before they disappear. Because if they'd have told us this 1 week and then the next week they'd have been gone, that would have kind of really thrown
a bunch
of people.
Well, I told you guys last year, as soon as they started pulling this crap, I said,
yeah,
they're going out of business.
Yeah, you actually did. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. I didn't think too much about it at the time, but you know, it's. I think I'd started doing something about it back then. I think I, because I joined Podbean about a year ago, and I think it was after you had said something about that, and I was kind of goofing around to see, okay, what do they have out here? And,
I wish there was a way for us to take it over. I wish there was a way that we could get it together. I mean, they're, you know, and buy them out somehow, or to figure out a way to do it ourselves, you know?
Yeah, I wish the same thing. If, you know, if I could find somebody who had HTML coding and all that happy stuff, because I don't,
yeah,
to be able to put something together like this, that'd be great, because, you know, as bad as Blog Talk Radio has been over the past year, their studio and their setup is actually pretty good.
It can't be that hard to figure out. I mean, it just can't be that hard. I mean, I don't know. I'm completely an idiot when it comes to that stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
but you know, surely there's got to be people out there that are computer literate that can understand this stuff and possibly, you know, put their minds together and figure this out. I mean, there's got to be a way to do it.
And maybe do it to the point where there's improvements on it, like with Podbean having the volume control for the microphones, for the hosts and stuff like that. But, I mean, it's been done, so I don't see why it can't be again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, somebody say Audio X or something, or somebody sent out a message or something last night, matter of fact. Somebody said something about Blog Talk. Does anybody know about that?
Audio X?
Yeah, somebody said Blog Talk Radio is going to Audio X or something, or I forgot. I didn't catch it, and it was right at the end of my show last night. Somebody sent me a message about that. I wish I would have took a screenshot of it or something.
Huh. I'll have to see if I can find something about that. There's all kinds of stuff. I just typed in Audio X, and there's all kinds of stuff there. There's Spotify, SoundCloud, Yelp, Apple Music, Sundown Audio. Well, that's going into subwoofers and things like that, but YouTube. Yeah, there's all kinds of things.
My YouTube station got banned. I've been wanting them to do it anyway, in a way. So I'm like, fine, this one, I don't have to worry about it anymore. It's here, I'm getting my strikes already, my three strikes, you know? That's what I told them.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just like if we can figure out what's going on over on Podbean, you'd be welcome to start up something over there with me or something.
We got to figure this out. Yes, definitely, because time is running short. And that's why I actually put the link in the chat room there, and you know, look at it and everything, because you know, time is running short, and without a platform to be voicing our opinions or monitoring what's going on out there, it's kind of like going through withdrawals in a way, you know.
Yeah, that's the way I was looking at it too. It's like, holy crap, I'm gonna go through withdrawals. I can't do my show. I can't talk with people. Something's gonna be wrong.
Doesn't it suck when you go on there and you're looking forward to doing a show and bam, they canceled on you, you know, or they shut it down. It's like, damn it, man.
Yeah, well, I was I was in here about, I think, 6 hours ago, right after I got off work and I got home. I went in here to see about, you know, and I didn't even have a show scheduled. I thought, crap, what the hell? So I quickly put one together and stuck it in there, but I didn't even have a show scheduled. I thought, oh, well, that's not really cool. And I went through some fluctuations there thinking, oh, what the hell was I thinking? I should have had one scheduled.
Yeah, I did one last night, and I did one the night before that. So I did two shows in a row.
Yeah, I know. I've been over on Podbean quite a bit, doing a lot of shows over there, just trying to get me, because it says I have to have, I think, 12 shows, and I'm at 10 right now. So I'm in the process of trying to make sure that I can get 12 shows before the 23rd comes around, because when the 23rd comes around, that's the end of my first month. So that's why I'm trying to fight that, because if I can get that, get the 12 shows in there, then that's going to tell me what's going to happen next month, because that's when the ability, that's where all these shows that I've done will give me whatever it's going to give me, 3 hours or 5 hours or whatever, and that'll start with my next month. So, and then each month essentially starts out the same. Like if you've, you know, when you are doing your next month, you're working on the month after. So you can actually make sure that you get your 5 hours or your 3 hours or whatever you want, or just stay at 2 hours and just do a couple of shows a month. But it's all up to them whether you do the shows or not. And right now I'm sitting at 10, so I'm it's going to be interesting to see what happens when the next month starts and see what's going on. So, of course, by then Blog Talk Radio will be gone.
Yeah, maybe not. You never know.
Yeah, they might just be saying that just to have people just say, okay, well, they're gone. I guess we got to find someplace else, and then they'll be there anyway. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. It's going to be interesting to find out what happens. So, but have you heard, hey, Joe, have you heard what's going on over in California now? I guess a lot of the Los Angeles people are blaming Big Oil for the fire. Have you heard that one?
Oh, really? No,
yeah.
I haven't heard nothing.
Yeah, it's just like, okay.
Why? What did Big Oil do? Well, why? What's the word?
I heard that on Newsmax about 4 hours ago. They were talking. There was a little blurb about them saying that some Los Angeles residents are blaming Big Oil for the fire. Well, Big Oil had nothing to do with that fire. But,
boy, here we go. Tinfoil hat. Here we go.
Tinfoil hats, yep. And then there's a bunch of them that are talking about how the blame is
9/11.
Everywhere.
9/11 had something to do with it.
Oh, yeah. The blame is everywhere except for where it really is. You know, 'cause the big part of this one is just the forest management and the laws that they've come up with, where people who build these houses where they do, they can't clear off the underbrush and stuff like that. Well, hell, all their houses are sitting on tinder. What do you expect is going to happen?
The government controls the wind. The government's going to control the wind.
Yeah.
You got big fans, smarter space, and flat earth.
Yeah. Next thing you'll hear is somebody's going to blame, you know, the aliens came in, they started the fire. It must be.
Oh, yeah.
New Roswell.
It's the pyramids, man. The pyramids, they all came together, and they're like a cartoon. They zap beam, laser beam, like Star Wars. Remember, you know, the Empire there?
Absolutely. It's... I've been getting a kick out of what's going on over there. It's not funny, because you know so many people have lost everything. But the blame game that is coming out is hilarious to a point. You know, it's like
liberals attacking each other.
Yeah, are you people really that dumb?
Oh, boy.
But I was goofing around with a bunch of stuff before I came in. I got one of the things coming out of New Mexico now is the Democrats for this next year have come up with a $10.8 billion budget.
$10.8 billion
for New Mexico, which is way high. And one of the articles that I found was on Pinion Post. It said what the Democrats don't want you to ask about their bloated $10.8 billion budget ask. And it's I haven't read this article yet, but it's something I'm going to get into one of these days fairly soon. But a lot of the people who are commenting on this is you, like the first one says, you just cannot just throw money at a problem without a real plan to fix it. So I guess that's what they're doing, is throwing money at a problem and hoping it fixes it. So I'm going to have to read that article, but it's $10.8 billion for a budget for New Mexico is rather high. It might not be for a state like California, you know. That'd be rather low for them, probably. But yeah, and we were talking about bringing it. Boy says Big Oil is the one that brought the wood to make those houses. So maybe Big Oil was to blame. I don't know. But it's been an interesting week so far. There was that one thing that I actually started the show with about Joe Biden falsely declaring the states ratified equal rights amendments to the Constitution. They haven't, but he said it did. Oh, so it's that should put, and they've got these links at the top. You know, they got like the politics, media, economy, world, entertainment, something like that should be put in entertainment, because it's just too funny to not be. But
where's the other guy been? You know, we haven't heard in a while. What's that kid's name that calls in here? Oh, man, I forgot his name. Oh, man, he always calls in. Oh, I forgot his name. Jeez, my mind just went blank. I haven't heard him in a while. Oh, man. He calls in Lorianne's show, my show, your show, Donnie's show a lot. Oh, man. My mind just went blank. Does everyone know who I'm talking about?
Are you talking about Nas?
Nas?
No, not Nas. No, this guy's a white guy.
Adam?
Mike? No, not Adam. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah,
I can't think of it.
Louisiana,
Mike? Mike, yeah, Mike. Yeah, that might be him, yeah.
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, where's and I messaged him on Facebook because we're Facebook friends, and he hasn't, like, gotten back to me. I don't know where he's been.
Hope he's all right.
You know, asking him, like, you know, hey, where you been? And I haven't gotten a response back, so I don't know.
Yeah. No, so I'm glad. Oh, good call there. You're getting, yeah, I couldn't wait. I couldn't think of his name. I'm glad you remembered. Yeah, so you've noticed that too, huh?
Yeah.
Haven't heard him.
Yeah, he hasn't been around. Another one that hasn't been around is Duck Northwest Media. He was always around for a long time.
Yep.
He just hasn't been around either.
Huh. He was a spy all this time.
He's a spy. And now we've got Warren back.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at least he hasn't, you know, it's like, I think he came into Lorianne's show a week or two ago.
No, he didn't come to my show. I think he came into Donnie's show.
Donnie's show.
But he
show.
Knew better
okay.
than
yeah.
to come onto my show.
Yeah, he hasn't been
the
here yet
he shows
either.
Up on my show, he's gone. He knows it too.
Yeah, and then he'll complain and bitch and moan and all this stuff. Is, oh my God, they don't like me. Well, imagine that. But now I've got
yeah,
I got
Joe,
two.
Remember, Joe, you're the one that got his show shut down. You know,
it's your blame,
Joe. According to him, he did nothing wrong. He didn't do anything at all. It was all you. You have no power over Blog Talk.
Yeah, and we've got two Skype numbers in there now, so maybe Sarge is one of them, and who knows. But, there's a few that I haven't heard from lately, but I know the ones that are usually here have been here, you know, like you, Joe, and Ron shows up, and Sally every once in a while will show up, and Donnie when he's feeling good, and Robert and Suzette. Bringing It Boy is in the chat room now. So.
Well, these people, they come and go. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's like you say, we got these usual voices that we usually have. And I just, you know, sometimes, a lot of people have done that over the years. You know, they come on and then all of a sudden, bam, they disappear, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's people that I've got that have liked my show, and I know they're still out there, but I just never see them come in anymore. But every once in a while, like Duke Brooks, the guy that actually started Conservative Nation Media with Mike Smith in Texas, those two are still around. Duke does a actual terrestrial radio show over in Delaware, and I get stuff from him every once in a while. There's been a couple of times when he's been sick, but he's still around, and every once in a while I'll see him show up here, but he very seldom says too much unless he calls in and then wants to talk, then I'll let him, but
you think everybody would be here? You think everybody would be on? You know, since you're doing a show, I mean, with all the less frequent shows on now, you think that we'd be slammed with callers? You know?
Yeah. One of the things I was doing.
Yeah, I invited Sarge and Pianki, so hopefully Sarge and Pianki will show up. I always try to spread the word when Blog Talk is actually fucking working. We were able to start the show.
Yay. Yeah, it's like I said, I've got two Skype numbers, so one of them could be Sarge. Who knows? But, you know, one of the things I was doing this last week, I was going through the show list of all the shows that we have done through Blog Talk Radio, and on July 10th, 2013, one of our shows back then, just about the time I joined Conservative Nation Media, Women Patriots, who is Barbara Buffing and I can't think of the other one's name. They had Dan Bongino on their show.
Really?
And I listened to that show, and he doesn't even sound like himself. This was back before he was really a name yet. But he was on that show, and I thought, wow, that's pretty interesting. But it was on July 10th, 2013. He was their special guest was Dan Bongino. I thought, wow, how about that? So I guess that's one of the things that I want to try and save, you know, keep all those shows to where I can actually access them. Because some
download
of them were,
yeah.
And some of them are actually pretty darn good shows. And
I know
the whole thing started out when Kane, what the heck, I can't think of his first name, but he was running for office back then, Kane. I can't think of his first name. But a lot
Not
of the
Kane.
Shows, no, it was just his last name was Kane. It wasn't McCain, it was just Kane. I think he was a black guy. But I actually supported him, too. And a lot of the shows that were with Conservative Nation Media back then supported him. And I'd have to go back in and look and see if I could find what was going on back then.
Oh, okay.
I could probably go back and find them. Let's see here. I'll go through this and go back to number 46. Yeah, because a lot of the radios were, the radio shows were like Kane Nation, Texas Radio, Bluegrass Nation for Kane. And I'm not sure, but a lot of them were for Kane. I'm trying to figure out. Let's see here. Herman Kane. That's who.
Yeah, remember him? Remember him?
Yeah. I remember him. Yeah, from back
2012.
Yeah, that was back in 2012, 13 years ago.
999.
Yeah. That's what they, that show that I just clicked on is Bluegrass Nation for Kane. It says a show dedicated to giving a voice to Kentucky supporters of Herman Kane and the rest of the country as well. We will devote our time to speaking positive about Mr. Kane and discuss all his plans and common sense solutions for his great nation, a Kane Nation. And a lot of the first shows for blog for Conservative Nation were about him. And then they started branching off and going in other directions. And
yep.
But I think the first,
Cuckooville.
Yeah. But I think it's been a while since Blog Talk, since they actually went away. When the shows stopped doing something every week. Let's see, I'm going, that's, I'm 14, 15, 16 pages back now. And it's still just me and Black by Color only. Let's see. I keep going back here. See if they can. Okay. There it is. We one of the last shows that there was the Michael Berryman show, Liberty and Constitution Community with Matt Opalisky, Radio Free America with Duke Brooks.
What was the show that made national news? It made national news about 6-7 years ago. Remember Blog Talk Radio made national news because some guy made some threats on here or something?
I
remember that.
I remember that. It wasn't one of our shows, but
I remember it was on Glenn Beck. It was on everywhere.
It was on
Blog Talk Radio.
How it
was a bad platform, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, it was on Glenn Beck, and it was one of these those things that just kind of hits, and it's everywhere, and then it was gone.
Yeah, yep, yeah.
So, let's see. And then we had a show on Tuesdays called Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But there was a show almost every darn night of the week. At that one point in time, and it was pretty cool. And then it just dropped off. Everybody just stopped, and it was like I was doing shows with everybody, and all of a sudden, I was the only show out there. And I was trying to figure out, okay, what the hell happened here, you know? And for a long time, I was able to do my two-hour shows because they had paid so far in advance that for a couple of months, I had my shows, and then all of a sudden it went to 30 minutes, and I had to figure out something. But I'm going back through here trying to see where they started to stop. And I think the last show, let's see, was the last show before everything just started dropping off was on 9/11/2014. And that was the Liberty and Constitution show, community. And then the next bunch of shows were me. But it was after 2015 when it kind of went away. For a long, long time, I was the only show on here. And I started bringing in people. I had Vincent come onto my show one week, and we talked about it. And he joined and started doing his show almost just weekly there for a while. But for a long, long time, I was the only show out here on Conservative Nation Radio, and nobody actually listened to the show very often. And 9/23/2018, I took the night off, and Douglas V. Gibbs was my guest that day. So I've had some interesting people on here, but it's that one that caught me by surprise was that one with Dan Bongino on. I thought, wow.
Flash in the past.
Yeah. But, it's kind of, I think with Blog Talk Radio going away, it's kind of the end of an era, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless they're just taking some time to, you know, and saying, telling everybody they're going out of business, but they're actually tweaking their system so they can come back. I don't know. Of course, that's just speculation on my part.
Don't know.
But let's see, the last time... Well, let's see, I think I'm on... Yeah, I'm on the last page here, so... I thought I was the only one doing the show for a while, but Black by Color Only has been in there. And then that one with Lorianne, she did her show on here that one night. So, but we're, it's, I don't know. I've been doing this on Blog Talk Radio for a long dang time. I think 2013 was when I first started with Conservative Nation Media. And before that, I was on my own just trying to get things. I think I started here probably about 2007, early 2007, late 2006, right towards the beginning. And the ones that brought me into it was like Douglas V. Gibbs. And back then there was Loki. He's no longer with us, but Loki did a show called The Halls of Valhalla or something like that. And Douglas V. Gibbs started his stuff with the Constitution. And he's pretty knowledgeable about the Constitution. He teaches about it going up and down the West Coast. And he was going to come here to Albuquerque last year or the year before and never was able to make it. I kind of wished he could have, but hopefully we'll be able to continue this after BTR goes away, because I know I sure enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. And we get people to talk to, which is cool, who either agree with what we're espousing about America or disagree. That's, you know, like Warren. But I think we've gone about 40 minutes now, or actually we've gone more than that. We're coming up on. And we've gone about an hour now, yeah. And Lori said she was going to go to the store. Don't know if she's already left or not, but she said she was going to go to the store for a little bit.
Yeah, I'm in my car right now. I'm in the car on my way home.
Oh, you're on your car on the way home.
I'm not sure how my audio is because it's going through the, you know, my stereo and my car audio microphone
cool.
And stuff, so.
Well, you sound okay, but you just don't have the fullness of your voice when you're on your regular microphone and stuff. It's just a little tinny sounding, but if you're in your car and at least you're able to do that, that's pretty cool that technology has advanced to the point where we can do things like that. And
Yeah, I upgraded my stereo on my 4Runner about, like, I think it was about a year or so after I got it. So I've had my 4Runner now for over 10 years. And so I got rid of the standard stereo, and I paid to upgrade the stereo so it would have Bluetooth and stuff for connecting to my phone and listening to my music. And then along with that stereo, they installed a little microphone that's just over my my steering wheel. And so that way I could take calls if I need to while I was driving. So, it was a worthwhile investment, and I got new speakers and stuff for it because the speakers that came standard were pretty shitty.
Yeah, I know. I've tried to, like with the radio I've got in my car, I can actually link my phone to so I can make phone calls with it. But my problem is I've got those noisy mufflers on the car, and they kind of have a tendency to come through. So it makes it kind of hard to talk to people and makes it hard for them to hear me too.
Huh?
Yeah, it's got the dual mufflers with the pipes and everything else. And it's rather noisy. So it's.
Oh, Poppy. Oh, you sound good, Poppy.
Yeah. And I got a V8 in it too. So that's kind of, makes it so it's a little noisy when I, with the right pipes and things in it. So it makes it kind of hard to talk to people on the phone when I'm in the car and it's running. So, and a lot of times when I go to like Wendy's or something like that, I have to shut the car off so they can hear what I'm saying when I'm talking to them through the microphone and drive through. So it's a lot of fun, I guess, but sounds like my wife is enjoying something out there. She's laughing up a storm. but let's see. I was going to look through some more news and see what the heck we've got here. That was one I noticed, too. You had a Rasmussen poll today that finds that 55% of people who took the poll fear Trump's being unsafe at the inauguration. And I kind of wondered about that too. As I watched him the other day, they had a video of him walking down the middle of Pennsylvania Avenue with his wife and a whole bunch of security detail halfway around him. But he was out there waving at people, and there were people all over the streets and everything. And you'd think with all of the attempts against his life, he wouldn't go out in the open like that, but there he was. So I can see, I guess, why, but that Rasmussen poll finds that 55% of the people fear that Trump's unsafe at his inauguration. It's going to be interesting to watch that one. And
they're going to have the inauguration indoors.
I heard that.
I saw that today. They're going to do it indoors, presumably because of the weather, because it's so cold. And I'm like, right.
Well,
they were
talking about how it's going to be one of the coldest on record. I think another one that was cold like that was Ronald Reagan's second, when he went into office for his second term. That was just a little bit warmer than what it's going to be. And they're talking that the wind is going to be blowing and it's going to be cold out there. So it's And I saw that thing about him, about his inauguration being indoors.
If it's going to be really windy, that could actually be a good thing as far as an assassination attempt goes, because if it's really windy, it's going to be hard to have that bullet actually, aim and fire right in high wind.
Especially if it's from a distance.
So an attempt might not be very successful.
Yeah. But, the mayor of New York City meets with Trump too. So we're getting all kinds of things going on here that a year ago would have never happened. But And they're saying that another story that was on Newsmax said the Trump inauguration protest to be 1/10 the size of 2017's. So this is going to be an interesting one to watch, I think. And I guess all kinds of companies.
You mean cities aren't going to burn down on Trump's inauguration? I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, they already got some burning down in California. Maybe that's just them getting the jump on the whole thing and starting it all out before it even happens. But I don't know.
I just got home and I gotta give attention to my excited dog, you know.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Where is everybody, man?
I'm not really sure. There's a bunch of people out here. There's not many people in the chat room.
You have to press one, man.
Damn. Yeah, I got two Skype numbers that raised their hands. Hello there.
Hello there. How art thou doing on this fine day?
Oh, we're doing well so far. We're back in here on Blog Talk Radio for the fifth week in a row. Isn't that amazing?
I'm amazed. I mean, I'm startled and amazed and rather pleased. But you got to admit, though, you're kind of on the short end of the lifespan here.
Yeah, well, I was
Twilight
thinking,
of Blog Talk.
Hey, sorry.
I was thinking that maybe they're doing this kind of they want to go out in a blaze of glory.
Yeah, they might want to do that. They might be, hey, you might have got something there. Hey, did you guys say anything about old senile Joe declaring that the ERA passed on his own authority?
That was a very
we were talking about that earlier. It's pretty comical.
It's amazing that he just did it. And they say that Donald Trump has no respect for the Constitution. Good God! I mean, I'm just saying to myself, that brazenness of this guy. Well, it's not him. His dummy people told him to do this, and he's like an old man in a nursing home. Whatever they put in front of him, that's what he's going to accept and do. You know, whatever instrument they put in front of him, a will or whatever, he's just going to sign it or take it at face value. And, you know, and the damn thing, I'm sure you pointed out the fact that even though the original deadline was up in 79 and then Congress voted to extend it by another 3 years, it's expired in 1982, and now if they're going to do it and pass the damn thing, they got to start from scratch. They got to start all over again with votes in both houses of Congress, and they got to send it back out to the states all over again with a new proposition.
What's this pertaining to, Sarge?
Huh?
What's this pertaining to? What are you talking about?
Oh, well, Joe Biden today just got up and declared on his own authority. And remember, the president has no role in amending the Constitution other than to note it. He declared on his own authority that the Equal Rights Amendment, which expired in 1982, the deadline for it expired in 1982, he declared it to be the law of the land. And like I said, they say Trump has no respect for
noise. How's that noise?
Somebody's asleep. Somebody dozed off. You didn't hear about this?
This is my dog.
Joe, you didn't hear about this?
No, I didn't hear it. No.
No, well, he did, man. I saw him. I got to hear
that. He was towards the beginning of the show. It's crazy.
He was yelling at everybody like he yelled at the Phantom of the Opera speech. Somebody dozed off. Yeah.
Mute that person, man.
Didn't work it out.
Yeah, Robert, do the round robin. See who it is that's snoring.
That's what I'm doing.
I think you got him. I think he's gone.
I think I got him. Yep.
Yeah, but I tell you, on his own authority, he just declared the Equal Rights Amendment is the law of the land. That's literally what he said. It's the law of the land. And the deadline
is He can't do that, Sarge. He can't do
that. He did it. I mean, everybody should just laugh at him, but it's just amazing that he had the nerve to stand up in front of the American people on TV and say, since Virginia voted it in last week, after the deadline was over, that therefore it's a done deal.
Yeah.
So what can we do to combat that now? What can we do to combat that?
Well, the archivist has already said, I mean, because remember, the archivist has to record the votes and then declare that the vote has been ratified and that it's now part of the Constitution. And the archivist already said that that can't be done. That it was not done in accordance with the Constitution.
Yep.
Here's what the archivist said. Here's what the archivist said. It's a quote. Let's see. As archivist and deputy archivist of the United States, it is our responsibility to uphold the integrity of the constitutional amendment process and ensure that changes to the Constitution are carried out in accordance with the law. Archivist of the United States, Dr. Colleen Shogan, and Deputy Archivist William J. Bosanko said in a statement in December 2024, at this time, the Equal Rights Amendment cannot be certified as part of the Constitution due to established legal, judicial, and procedural decision. But somehow this moron, this senile moron, just went ahead and did it anyway. Everybody's laughing at him.
Well, we shouldn't laugh, though, because if he forced that, then, you know, what do we do then?
Well, obviously, if he tries to enforce that, that's going to create a constitutional crisis of the first magnitude. But he's out in 3 days. He's out of office in 3 days. 2 days.
And he's
really.
Yeah. And he keeps talking about how he's going to make it the transition so smooth, but he's doing everything he can to make sure it's not.
It's not him. It's the people who run him.
It's the people who run
full
him.
Full of strength. Yeah. People full of strength.
Yeah.
He's just putting words in his mouth, and what's left of his brain is responding to it.
Well, you know, one of the things I had talked about at the beginning was that another thing that he has also said is he's going to write himself a book. Now, with all the stories he tells.
Well, he is.
Yes. With all the stories that he tells, I can just imagine just what this thing will be. It has to be a sci-fi fiction story that tells things that, you know, and he's got to call it something like The Juicers of La La Land or something like that. I can't think of him writing a serious book that has any kind of facts in it.
Robert, I'll have you know that I already wrote that book. When I thought he was running for president, I decided I'd do it myself, and I already wrote that book. As soon as I find it, I'll get it up for you, and I'll read it for you, because I think it was a pretty good book, and I feel kind of frustrated that I wasn't able to get it fielded before he decided to drop out of the race. But I think I really did a good job on that book.
I would not doubt
it. You want to hear? You want to hear the preamble to it?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
I call it President Joe Munchausen. This is exactly like the time I entered a violent engagement with a young gangster named Porn Pop. I was driving an 18-wheel at the time after my son Bo was killed in Iraq. A drunk driver had recently killed my wife. Jealous they were that I had graduated at the top of my law school class. My small home in Puerto Rico had burned down during a lightning storm after I had narrowly escaped from incarceration in a South African prison where I had been engaged in desegregating movie theaters and solving the conflagration in the Balkans. I had earlier refused an appointment to the Naval Academy, opting for a more adventurous search for my Uncle Ambrose, who was eaten by cannibals in the jungles of the Himalayas with Xi Jinping. Now, I just started it. I didn't get a chance to finish it because the bastard dropped out and left me hanging high and dry.
Well, you could continue.
But you can hear it was, you know, I think it had all the makings of a really good book, a bestseller, and maybe even a great movie script.
Yeah, liberals would like.
Amen.
Yeah.
But you know, the best laid plans of mice and men. There you go. So,
yeah,
I missed out on another opportunity.
Yeah, I've had a few of those over the years. Unfortunately, if I'd have known what I was doing when I made my first invention, that I'd have been rich. Because I used to have these. Remember when roller skates had the metal wheels on them? I had a pair of roller skates.
Yeah, I remember that.
Now, I had a pair of roller skates one time, and I took this piece of wood, and I cut it out into the shape of a rocket ship, and I pounded down all the things sticking up on the skates, and then I just nailed those skates onto that piece of wood, and I had this skateboard, probably the first one ever made, and I didn't think anything about it until somebody came out with skateboards, and I thought, hey, I did that years ago. What the hell? I should be rich now.
I'm telling you, man, the things you, oh,
yeah, this,
man.
This, so
you.
This was long before Back to the Future came out, right?
Oh, absolutely. I was probably about 7 or 8, 9, 10, something like that. I was probably in the early 60s or late 50s.
Just think you'd have found Tony Hawk. You could have really collaborated with that guy, couldn't you?
Well, he probably wasn't even born at that point in time yet.
No, okay. Well, anyway.
So,
land opportunity, though. Don't worry. There'll be others. It ain't over for you yet.
Yeah, well, unless I die before it happens, then I'm, you know, well, hard telling. And I know a lot of my friends that I went to school with are already gone. Yeah, it's just kind of.
Boy, is that a good feeling?
Oh, yeah, very. I'm just like, wow, I'm still around. I'm still doing decently. Wow, what happened to all these guys?
Oh my God! You see, I mean, I feel like I'm getting old now, Robert.
Yeah, this guy came into Office Depot today when I was working, and he looked like he was so much older than me, and he was the same age as me, and I thought, oh my gosh, that's what I got to look forward to. But I'm constantly staying active and busy so that I don't end up getting old before my time.
Yeah.
And then I have
these people. Well, I can't say the same thing.
Well, I have these people come in. And they're talking about how old they are, and they're 61. And I'm sitting there, oh, come on, you're a decade or more old, younger than me. What the heck? I'm not old yet. What are you saying? You're old?
Yeah, 61, a bunch of spring chickens, man.
That's what I told her. The lady who told me that today, I told her. I said, you're just a spring chicken. She says,
yeah,
you can't
amen.
Do that.
Amen. Oh, man.
I can't believe I'm going to be 52 in March. Like, I never I honestly never thought I would live to even see 40, you know?
I definitely thought I'd be done by now, all the shit I was doing. I definitely thought I'd be gone. Oh, by the way, did you guys hear that the Georgia Appeals Court turned down Fani Willis's request to reinstate her prosecution of Donald Trump?
Yes, I did. I heard about that. I'm not sure where I heard it from, but I...
But yeah, she, you know, she hell hath no fear like a woman scorned, especially a woman as crazy as that one.
Yeah,
she's nuts, man.
Yeah.
Fanatic. She's a fanatic. I mean, she's utterly unself-aware, completely self-obsessed, and absolutely certain of her own rectitude. I actually believe, even though she knows she's corrupt, she thinks her corruption is justified in pursuit of her aim. She's that,
yeah.
That's the kind of person she is, honest to God. That's what it appears like to me, especially after her appearances in church and the things she said at the pulpit that they let her get away with.
Yeah. I've been. Have any of you been watching the things going on in the House or the Senate or whatever for the nominees?
Oh man, have I ever! Oh man, Pam Bondi. Oh man, Pam Bondi. Good Lord, she came to life and kicked much booty. She made Adam Schiff look like a big dummy.
And that was the best thing I've ever seen.
She was magnificent.
Yes,
and Pete Hegseth handled himself quite capably.
Oh, he did?
I was very impressed with those two.
The thing that caught my attention was Mark Wayne Mullen of Oklahoma. He called out all the Democrats for the things they were doing.
Oh, did he ever? That was an epic moment in confirmation history. That made up for all the Robert Barking these bastards have been doing over the decades.
Yeah. But the funny part about it was, is he called them out for what they were doing, and the next Democrat that came up went right back to doing the same damn thing.
They can't help themselves, man. They got a playbook.
Yeah. They'll ask a question, a yes or no answer will not handle it, but that's what they want is a yes or no answer. And if you don't give it to them, they break in on you and interrupt you every time you try and say something. it's been kind of rather interesting watching that.
They're not attempting to find out the truth of the suitability of the candidate. They're trying to derail the candidate. So, I mean, it's obvious what they're doing. They literally fear the changes that candidate could possibly bring to the office they are seeking.
Mm-hmm.
So we all know what they're doing.
Yeah. Did you hear about that lawsuit against CNN?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I thought that CBS would plead the First Amendment on this, but I realize now they're not. And I'll tell you why they're not. Because if Trump brings this to court, he's going to get discovered. And Discovery is going to reveal how they attempted to manipulate Kamala Harris's responses so she didn't look like a drunken moron.
Yep.
And I believe they could prevail on the First Amendment if they went ahead and went to court on it, but they don't want that can of worms open. They don't want the public to see what it is that they did. That's why they're going to settle. I believe they would actually prevail on it if they did. You better believe they do not want it. You want to hear what they did? I'll let you hear the video, and you will hear what it was that CBS pulled in that interview they had with Kamala Harris. It wasn't an attempt. They mixed and matched questions and answers. And that's not journalism. That's fraud. They cut it. This gibberish answer she gave about Israel, and I replaced it with a complete separate sentence she had said earlier in the interview. It was amazing. Listen to this now. You will hear, first thing you're going to hear is the actual answer that she gave. Then you'll hear the cut and splice answer that they put in there to save her from looking like a drunken, moronic idiot. The deceptiveness of the mainstream press these days is almost beyond belief. But anyway, listen to it for yourself, and now you will see why they're going to settle this case rather than go to court and probably win on the First Amendment. But here you go. Listen to this.
But it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
Well, Bill, the work that we have done has resulted in a number of movements in that region by Israel that were very much prompted by or a result of many things, including our advocacy for what needs to happen in the region.
Now, that's the answer she gave. Did that make any sense to any of y'all? It was gibberish.
Yep.
Now listen to the answer that they inserted into the interview. Now, this is the answer they inserted after she's asked the question. Now check this out.
Who said Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening?
We're not going to stop pursuing what is necessary for the United States to be clear about where we stand on the need for this war to end.
But it seems...
Do you see what I mean? This is deceptive journalism. And this is why they're going to settle. This is why they're going to, and again, I stress, I believe they would and should win on First Amendment grounds, but they don't want the American people to see what a bunch of deceptive liars they are.
Absolutely.
This flagship show, 60 Minutes, did this.
Yeah, I remember that.
When 60 Minutes, when they were supposed to have a full hour, and they cut it down to only 23 minutes because she was talking nothing but bullshit and gibberish. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, could you make any sense out of that first answer?
Some kids do like a two-hour interview and go into overtime, and they're like, yeah, we really got to cut it off now. And Trump's like still going.
Yeah.
I mean, could you make any sense at all out of that answer? Would you? Typical Kamala speak.
True. Yep, it was typical. And then with Biden and his farewell speech, they had him reading from the teleprompter. And in the teleprompter, it'll tell you what to do in certain places. And you're not supposed to read those things, but he did. Here it is.
I concur with Justice Sotomayor's dissent today. She hears what she said. She said, in every use of official power, the president is now a king above law. With fear for our democracy, I dissent. End of quote.
End of quote. And that was supposed to be in there.
End of quote.
And he wasn't supposed to read end of quote.
End of quote. I mean, the guy is detailing every single sin he committed as president of the United States and as a senator. And he's telling us why now it's a bad thing. Now we need to guard against the very things he did for most of his political career. I was just astonished watching this, as though he never engaged in it. I could maybe see some redemption in it, and he said, I have been guilty, perhaps, of many of these sins I am detailing that now need to be corrected. No, he didn't do that. He acted as though he was above the fray, and now we need to stop these things, because I'm pointing the way for you to prevent this sort of corruption in the future. The Democrats and their absolute unself-awareness is breathtaking. And I got a question for you guys. It's got to do with the Los Angeles Fire Department. Now, the three top people in the Los Angeles Fire Department, the three top chiefs and the two deputy chiefs, are all named Kirsten with a K. Now, and they're all lesbians. Now, what are the odds of the three top personnel in the Los Angeles Fire Department being lesbians named Kirsten? Imagine that. With the LAP Fire Department is run by the KKK lesbians. What are the odds? I mean, it's just amazing what we're looking at. And then you got the goofy Department of Water and Power Commissioner getting $750,000 a year. Coming in there, you got a $117 million reservoir that's intended to be used to fight the fires. It's bone dry. And it's been that way for 2 years since she's been fire commissioner. And Donald Trump has told Gruesome Newsom of the dangers that he was facing back in 2019. He told them about the messing up the fire breaks to save the migratory mouse and the smelt fish
the
and all the other
fish,
things they were doing, to not prepare the state. And lo and behold, it happened. Amazing.
You know, one of the things they've come out with on that smelt fish was that the things that they were saying, they now believe that it wouldn't have led to its extinction. So they did all this stuff for no reason at all, I guess. Pionki just raised his hand.
But just think that they eliminated the fire breaks.
Yep.
The fire breaks, they filled them back in so the migratory mouse could get around and do its migration.
Yep.
No water. Absolutely. Don't repair the reservoirs. Don't repair the water mains. Don't repair the valves. Don't make it suitable. They said one of the reasons we can't do it is because it's not, it won't be good for potable drinking water. I couldn't believe it.
Yep. Hello, Pionki.
Yeah, I see you talking about the fiasco in California, particularly in the L.A. area.
Oh, absolutely. Can't help it.
And it was a total play on mismanagement and neglect is what you're looking at. And I hate to say this, but a lot of that comes along with these Democratic-led areas. And then, mm-hmm. from my experience, when you have black leadership that's Democratic, then you have a formula for disaster, like in St. Louis. So I don't know. Maybe they all just disappear. Do they realize that certain species every day go extinct? You talk about the mouse. I mean, that's just the way it is. Hell, human beings are going to go extinct.
One of them
later.
Yep, absolutely.
But you know what? It is so instructive to contrast the response of California with Mayor Karen Bass, who was a founding member of the Vence Ramos Brigade in Watts, the Watts faction of the Castroite Vence Ramos Brigade. She was one of the founders of it. And by the way, another faction of the Vince Ramos Brigade called M19, a bunch of lesbians, were blowing up government buildings in the 1980s. That's what Vince Ramos was, man, a bunch of radicals. And she headed or helped to co-found the Watts faction of that outfit. But if you compare people like her and the way they prepared for the emergency response, the response to emergencies in California, and then you contrast it with people like Greg Abbott and Ron DeSantis and the governor of North Carolina, I forget his name, and the way they are able to have all of the resources pre-positioned, pre-planned, prepared to respond effectively, and can mitigate the damage to people done by these natural disasters. It's relatively efficient compared to what you see in California, where they didn't do any of the things that are necessary to mitigate forest fires that have been breaking out in California before human beings even existed in California. That is a cycle that is common. But there are things you can do with good management that will mitigate the damage done by the inevitable fires that are entirely predictable. But these people have no concept of how to employ the police power. And the police power is that set of regulations, rules, and laws that deal with the maintaining this health, safety, and welfare of the citizenry. That's what police power is. And these people have no concept of police power. They think government is about handing out goodies to your favorite groups of people, dividing people up against each other, and being the gatekeepers of everybody's prospects. They don't think it has anything to do with the proper exercise of the legitimate police power.
Yep.
They have no idea of how to do it.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right, Sarge. And, you know, you talk about the little mouse that runs around on the ground to travel from one place to the other. Well, in order for it to do that, it has to be able to take cover therefore it can hide from the owls and the eagles. Well, now all that cover is burnt away. So how is the little bitty mouse going to be able to travel without being detected? And the bird, the predator is going to swoop down on it and capture it for a meal. I don't understand their thinking.
Well, see, they thought they could cheat Mother Nature. Because, see, that's the way Mother Nature manages the wild, the forest. When all that shrubbery builds up and the seasons get dry and it all dries up and you get a lightning strike or something, you get a forest fire. And then Mother Nature, by using forest fires, cleans everything up and the cycle begins anew. Now, we understand that. So, see, Mother Nature did what they could have done with human hands, cleared away the brush, not by burning it all or burning it in a controlled fashion, but by removing it and doing what Mother Nature does without the concomitant damage. But no, they're in the thrall of these crazy environmentalists and all these left-wing people who are just fucking lunatics. Yeah. And they can't do anything but respond to their crazy demand. So ironically, by ignoring Mother Nature, they wound up making a disaster that is bigger than it had to be.
Well, you know, another one of the problems, too, is eucalyptus trees, right? So all these people, you know, eucalyptus trees, they're not native to the area. And they've planted eucalyptus trees. Well, one thing about eucalyptus trees is they tend to be pretty invasive after a fire. So, you know, they will take over. They are made to withstand fire. They actually propagate upon fire faster and more prolifically after a fire than any of the native trees and stuff in the area. So what we're going to see happen is like an explosion of eucalyptus trees all over the damn place, taking things over. Because they're just not natural in the area, and that's going to be another problem. Here in Oregon, we have tons and tons of pine trees. You know, they're the things that take over after a wildfire. Not only have they been, you know, planted, but with the pine cones, you know, pine trees have been, you know, evolved to withstand forest fires. And the seeds in the pine cone actually get activated after a fire and stuff. And so that's why, you know, pine trees are so prolific here. But that would be better even than eucalyptus trees. You know, like what are they going to do? Import a bunch of fucking panda bears or something to eat up all those eucalyptus trees? You know, like.
I said. You know, they wind up doing more damage to the environment with these stupid environmental policies than otherwise would be, while at the same time patting themselves on the back for their enlightened policies. These people are studies in contradiction and wrong-headed thinking and double-think. I mean, they're just amazing.
Well, you know, how in the world is it that they voted for this woman, given the history that she has? And then when you look at other instances where Democrats are in charge and they like to bring up the historical legend of candidates that's being chosen for any particular position, they bring up their history going back to time immemorial when they were damn near just one head out of the womb.
Yep.
And we had another case like that too with the person who led the J6 commission, and that being Benny Thomas.
Yep.
He was friends to a organization that was hell bent on the destruction of the United States, or wanted to have their own state,
Republic of New Africa.
Yeah,
that's right. He sure was. He was a secessionist. He was damn near an insurrectionist. In fact, a couple members of the Republic of New Africa got into a shootout with the FBI in a siege situation, where a couple of FBI agents were killed.
Yeah.
And or police officers, I forget which. But a couple of agents were killed, and they had to besiege them, and they wound up, I think, killing one of them and capturing the rest. But they actually, talk about insurrection, they put up an armed insurrection to agents of the United States government. And Benny Thompson was the spokesman for the Republic of New Africa at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Chukwe Lumumba was also with them. He became the first black, I think it was the first black mayor of Jackson, Mississippi, I'm not sure. And another person that was involved with him, he went to prison, was Amari Obadeli. But nobody says nothing.
Nope. Well, you know.
He's now an esteemed colleague in the House of Representatives. You can't bring up that past now. But you can talk about Donald Trump declaring bankruptcy 5 times. You never let that go, though.
No, that's for sure.
Well, we're going to set things right because
of
you.
Did any of you see the special counsel report on Hunter Biden? Did any of you read up on that at all?
I've only read summaries of it. I haven't read it in detail. Did you find out something intriguing?
Yeah, I found an article, 5 key conclusions from the special counsel's report on Hunter Biden. Counsel who prosecuted Hunter Biden for tax and gun crimes released his long-awaited final report on the investigation on Monday, officially concluding the probe that was cut short by President Joe Biden's sweeping pardon of his son late last year. Special Counsel David Weiss had faced pressure from Democrats and Republicans alike over the course of his investigation, which produced 2 sets of charges against the first son for firearm-related offenses in Delaware, in which the younger Biden was convicted, and tax evasion charges in California, which he pled guilty to. Let's see, some of the highlights. Hunter Biden broke the law. Weiss confirms unequivocally that in his report that Hunter Biden broke the law, contradicting claims from Joe Biden that some media outlets that said for years that there was no evidence the first son did anything wrong. Biden traded on his family name to secure lucrative business deals. Weiss concluded Hunter Biden's money came from using his last name and connections to secure lucrative business opportunities in exchange for doing limited work, confirming one of the key findings of the House Republican impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden that wrapped up last year. Evidence shows Biden cheated on taxes specifically related to the Burisma income. The court documents show that Hunter Biden failed to report income from Burisma Holdings, the controversial Ukrainian energy firm, on his taxes, again contradicting President Biden's claims that his son did nothing wrong. President Biden accused of undermining the justice system. Weiss says that President Biden's claims that the prosecutions of his son were politically motivated undermine the public's confidence in our criminal justice system and unfairly impugns the integrity not only of the Department of Justice personnel, but of all public servants making these difficult decisions in good faith. President Biden accused of using a pardon to try to rewrite history. Weiss said that President Biden's pardon of his son, Hunter, was an attempt to rewrite history. The Constitution provides the president with broad authority to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States, but nowhere does the Constitution give the president the authority to rewrite history. You know, like the preemptive, you know, that whole preemptive thing, like, you know, not just pardoning crimes that somebody's been accused of or convicted of, but any and all crimes they may or may not have done over the course of 14 years. Like, you know, this is broad sweeping. This is, you know, this is, I like the way they phrased it, to rewrite history by covering such broad protections in that pardon over, you know, that's the next thing that I think that the Trump administration and this new Congress and Senate need to pass is limits on that authority. Like, no, you cannot pardon somebody for a crime they haven't even been charged with. You know, you can't do a blanket thing like that. You can only pardon somebody that is either charged or convicted of a crime. You can't do this blanket, you know, free-for-all that they cannot be prosecuted for a goddamn thing. you know, ever, you know, so anything and everything that, that Hunter did, you know, for over a decade is, he can't be prosecuted for. He could have raped and killed a fucking 10-year-old, and we couldn't prosecute him for it now because he's pardoned under this umbrella, and that's exactly what our next, you know, this next Congress and Senate needs to pass a law. They need to fucking, you know, if it needs a constitutional amendment, fine, do it. But we need to fucking get agreement that this was way, way overstepping the bounds of the intent of presidential pardon. And yeah, it should be enshrined in the Constitution. No president should ever be able to do that sort of blatant blanket kind of shit again ever for anybody. Anyway, okay, end rant.
Good rant.
Yeah, well, you know, I think, you know, you're going to run into a separation of powers issue based upon the understanding now. I agree with you, Lori. I don't think that the plenary power of the president to pardon was intended for crimes that were not existing yet or discovered or charged. But probably the way things are, the court would probably say that Congress can't just pass a law infringing upon the president's pardon authority. They're probably going to say it's got to be set up as a constitutional amendment. I don't know. I would hope not. I don't think that's an unreasonable infringement on the pardon power to say you got to at least wait until a person's been indicted and or charged with crime. But, you know, we'll have to see if somebody brings a suit before the court. Somebody's going to have to bring a suit before the court, or Congress is going to have pass a law restricting the president's pardon power. And I do think that might be constitutionally problematic.
Like I said,
based on
I want that to be an amendment to the Constitution. I don't want it to be left up. I don't want it to be left up to simply Congress and the Senate. I want, you know, I want Congress and Senate to pass a fucking amendment to the Constitution so that it can never be questioned again that, okay, here is, you know, the presidential pardons cannot be outside the scope of somebody that's been charged with a crime or convicted of a crime, you know,
right.
and limit it to that. You can't do this blanket fucking you're immune to anything and everything that you might or might not have done over the last 10 years bullshit. You know, like, let's make it solid. Let a constitutional amendment will just do away with all of the other bullshit that'll be involved.
Yeah, I got to agree with
well,
that.
You got
to
remember,
like,
too, that you got to remember that Congress can make a proposal, but it has to be ratified by 75% of the states. Or well, either way you do it in Article 5,
so let's
put
the pressure on the states to ratify it. You know, why wouldn't a state want to limit that power? You know, and especially if it's Trump that's in office. Okay, let's say Trump is in office, and let's say Don Jr. Is investigated, and let's say Don Jr. being investigated or being charged with a certain crime. Now Trump can go ahead and go, guess what? Okay, I'm going to go back 15 years, and anything and everything that Don Jr. might have done that violates the law is now pardoned. And now guess what? Every fucking Democrat state, California, ever across the board would be on board for a constitutional amendment to limit it. The very fucking second Donald Trump does the same exact thing, then guess what? It's going to be up in front of Congress, and I bet you it would be ratified in no time fucking flat.
Oh, absolutely. So we're down to the end of the first 2 hours. We're going into the third hour in 3, 2, 1, 0. We're in the third hour now. So whoever was in the chat room wasn't on the phone.
Well, I got to second that emotion, Laurie. I think that that's what needed to be done. And I do think most states would be willing to ratify that one. I think that's an amendment that could get through. That's not one I see as being particularly difficult.
Like,
although I'm not going to say I'm not going to say it's a sure thing, though. But I think it's more likely than not it could pass.
I think anybody that tried to make an argument against it would just make themselves out to be a fool. You know, like what legitimate kind of argument could you have for that kind of a blanket immunity for somebody? You know, people even have issues over diplomatic immunity and limiting that. You know, so why the hell would you, you know, want to do it for anybody that's a politician? It just it flies in the face. And by the way, Pianki and Sarge, I'm glad that you made it tonight. Pianki, I'm glad that you did. I missed you last Sunday on my show. And so hopefully Blog Talk will still be working, and I can do what will be my last show on Blog Talk this Sunday, and hopefully you guys show up.
Well, we'll hook you up, baby. We'll be there. At least I will. I think Bjelke will be there, too.
I know I will be.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, though, but, you know, I'm so glad to see all these – just the fact of Trump's election is causing all of these questions to bubble to the surface and be examined and be talked about. Even if we can't get it implemented, we got the discussion started about many of these things. And if no other reason, the election of Donald Trump is invaluable just for that. Boy, you couldn't even get traction on any of it in the form of a discussion. This is a good thing.
Yeah, look at no tax on tips. That's moving forward in the Senate now. So that's going to, you know, and I have a very strong feeling that it's going to pass. You know, so no taxes on tips is, you know, part of the future. And look how fucking long it's been. Ron Paul first submitted no taxes on tips back in the end of 2011, you know, and now here we are. It's taken this fucking long, you know, and it's really looking like it's going to pass. You know, I really will be surprised if it doesn't pass.
That's only federal income. It's not state, though.
Federal income tax, yeah. But look at birthright citizenship. That was a shibboleth. That was a cow. Look at it now. It's being questioned. It's being openly brought up now. Birthright citizenship, I thought, was one of those great untouchables that we'd never be able to unravel. But now there's a chance. People are talking about it. People are actually revisiting the inception of the 14th Amendment and what the authors of the 14th Amendment said it was intended to cover and who it did not cover. And we're having a discussion now. We would not have this discussion without the election of Donald Trump.
And just think, that damn fake Kamala Harris came within a cat's whisker of going to the White House.
Man, if they could have run out the clock and maybe – drug her over the finish line. But he, like I say, you see 60 Minutes. That's exactly what they were trying to do. That's why they're going to settle with Trump rather than go to, at least try to settle with Trump rather than go to court. I hope he doesn't settle. I hope that he goes, takes it to court and let them make their case. Well, we got a right to lie under the First Amendment. Because actually they do.
You know, I wonder how much of that $1.2 billion of Kamala's campaign money paid 60 Minutes to, you know, omit what is that 47 minutes of that interview. They probably paid him off pretty fast.
Yeah,
and
if that's
money.
The case, if she did, that should have been listed as a campaign contribution. That would be a violation of election law for something like that not to have been listed as a campaign contribution, because that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
Alvin Bragg, are you listening, Alvin Bragg? Isn't CBS headquartered in New York?
Yeah, her campaign is still charging credit cards that donated to her campaign one time. They're still charging them. And people don't got pissed. And don't mention about the poor campaign workers. They filed a lawsuit because they ain't got paid.
Oh, man, this is just so good. I mean,
everybody keep donating. And Kamala Harris somehow thinks that she has a chance in 2028. She wants to do it again.
She might run for governor of California. She might want
to
run for governor of California.
Not if she's moving to New York.
Well, that's true, too. I don't know. Is that what she's going to do?
Well, I heard reports that they're looking for a place in New York.
Interesting. We shall see.
See if they can't pull a Hillary.
I was just going to say that. She's going to be like Hillary 2.0.
What, she's going to become a senator from New York? So you say I was a senator from California and a senator of New York? Oh, that's another first. Oh, gee. I'm going to be really impressed by that one.
I really hope, like, I was with the George Soros buying out Odyssey, and the radio stations and podcasts and stuff involved, that the Biden administration, their FCC, fast-tracked that deal. I'm really hoping, and the one of the main problems with this is there's actually a law that prohibits more than 25% of foreign interests owning media companies here in the United States. And that's what the FCC bypassed. But they also did that with iHeartRadio, right? Way back in Mitt Romney, that fucker, Bain Capital and stuff, and the whole purchase of iHeartRadio, the FCC bypassed the law in that case as well. So now we have a second instance with George Soros doing the same thing, and the Biden White House fast-tracking that deal with the FCC to buy Odyssey and all of the radio stations. And even Soros admits that, yes, this will go past the 25% law of foreign interest, in our media. And so I'm really hoping that the Trump administration and our current Congress and Senate actually do something about this, solidify that law and scrap that deal. And also take, and also do something about iHeartRadio, because they're in violation as well. Just because the conservative media did it doesn't mean it's okay for the Democrats and vice versa. So we need to break up this fucking monopoly that we have going on on both sides. Are purveyors of this injustice of our media. And we need to undo that provision in the NDAA that made it legal, that Obama signed. It was the provision to combat foreign disinformation that made it legal for our government to put out its own propaganda. That was a separate law, but then it was incorporated into the NDAA that Obama signed. That is another thing that we need to demand that our Congress and Senate fucking revamp. Because that doesn't need to be there. There is no reason whatsoever that our government should be allowed to put out its own false propaganda on the American people and have a backdoor into social media and news media outlets to determine what is and is not misinformation, like we saw the Biden administration fully utilize over COVID and over the Hunter Biden laptop and everything else. This is something that also needs to come to light. Like, we need to break up this fucking monopoly, have our media be independent again, and that way we don't need fact checkers. In Biden's, speech, his farewell speech, he talked about the oligarchy, these ultra-rich and the monopoly over our media, and then he complained about social media taking away fact-checking, basically a call out to Zuckerberg. So he's in that speech, what people don't realize, he admitted, he basically admitted that the White House was telling Facebook and social media companies what is and is not in good information. He basically admitted that it was the White House's own propaganda, that they were, using the fact checkers to ban and ban from, or give them Facebook jail and remove posts and all that kind of shit. In his own fucking farewell speech, he basically admitted to it without admitting to it. You know what I mean? Like, you got to read between the lines. And so this is what, what a hypocrite, It's like your own administration was doing this, and now you're going to turn around and say that, that this is somehow a bad thing. You know, like, utilized it to the full extent you possibly fucking could, and now you're going to try to fear-monger people that Trump is going to do it? Well, of course Trump is going to do it. It's a tit-for-tat.
Hey.
When one side does it, the other side is fully going to do it. Of course Trump will do the same fucking thing. Because Biden, you know, the precedent has already been set. And once the precedent has already been set, nobody seems to argue against it very much when the next person fucking does it. And so, yeah, like, you know, this is something that needs to be curtailed big time. You know, we need to have free and fair fucking journalism again. We need to be like, no, the United States government is not allowed legally to put out propaganda and false information itself. I.e. the example of all the fucking job numbers that Biden likes to fucking brag about. Yeah, well, when for a fucking year, those millions of jobs that he was bragging about, you know, 840 million of them were false. They had to be revised down. You know, so even Biden's own Labor Department was putting out false propaganda on the job numbers in order to influence the stock market, influences people's perception of how the job market really is, and to criticize people like me who've had a really fucking hard time trying to get fucking employed again, you know, and people are, you know, looking down on me. Well, when they're goddamn lying to you about, you know, when they're revising, you know, when you have, oh, we had 300,000 new jobs created. Oh, well, wait a minute. We need to revise that down by 50,000 or 60,000. It's fucking lies, you know? And, the whole thing needs to be just done with. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, it just, this shit pisses me off. Okay, I'm done.
All right. Hang on. I'm gonna back this conversation up a few paragraphs. Okay. Now, you said with the sale of Odyssey and Soros purchasing it, that it puts us over 25% foreign owned media. Is that what you were saying?
Yes. Soros even admits
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. Hang on now. Hang on. Stop right there. So, from that statement, that says to me, George Soros is not a United States citizen. Is that correct?
He has dual citizenship with Hungary and the United States. He was first a Hungarian citizen, and he has dual citizenship with the United States.
So he is a citizen. So if he's a citizen, then we're not over the 25, that magic 25%. But if he's not,
but
and
see,
that's
it's not
the,
just him,
that's
it's
how
all
it,
his companies.
If
when
he
has
if,
companies, if, investment firms that are foreign that are all involved in this, it's much bigger than just George Soros. It's George Soros and all of his investment companies and other companies that he has control of, you know, or at least on the board of, you know what I mean? So these are foreign companies, foreign-based companies that are involved in all of this. Yeah, so, you know, he admits it goes over that 25% threshold.
Well, if that is correct, I believe that Ms. Bondi should do a very thorough investigation on Mr. Soros, because with him citizenship-wise and otherwise contributing to political campaigns, that is illegal.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, if there's a law that says, you know, that restricts companies from media companies, how about foreign influence on elections, which we all know, like, you know, I'm agreeing with you here, Boyd, that Soros pumped a fucking lot of money into Democrats not just this past election cycle, but previous ones. And so he's using that. That is foreign influence in a very backdoor and corrupt way.
Yes.
Yep.
So like I said, that should probably be seriously investigated by the new Department of Justice, because, you know, those are illegal campaign contributions by a foreign entity. And you know that if that was the case, then he should probably be making a whole bunch of little rocks out of some big rocks.
Yeah.
Well, and
absolutely.
Congress needs to do it, too. They need to investigate it and make laws on this stuff, too. And not just for, like, media, but I think it opens up a big door to, like, let's do away with dual citizenship. It shouldn't even exist. This is a dual citizenship as a way to have foreign influence over our government and every single facet of America. You know, dual citizenship flies in the face of all of this. You know, this is how they get, this is like a big fucking giant loophole that needs to be plugged. Do away with dual citizenship and it'll solve a lot of the fucking problems.
Yeah. That it will. And now everybody's quiet.
I know, I kind of took over. Well, I'm kind of, like, I'm talking now because I don't know if I'll have a show on Sunday or not, you know? Like, Blog Talk was working last weekend just fucking fine, you know, until Sunday, and then you couldn't even log in. So I'm getting my words in now in case I, again, don't have a show.
Well, you can, you know, you could always go over to Podbean and try it on mine.
Planning ahead, I see.
Yeah.
Planning ahead, yes.
Yeah, Sarge, Bianchi, Boyd, what do y'all think about what I have to say? I'll sit up for a little while, but yeah.
Well, here's the thing about dual citizenship. As far as doing away with it, remember, we can't negate any other country's citizenship laws by simply declaring them to be null and void. What I think you mean, even if you didn't say so, is that if there's any conflict between United States citizenship and a foreign citizenship, United States citizenship view or law should be the one that prevails. Because
saying if you want to become an American citizen, then you revoke the citizenship of whatever other country you're at. You can't have
that's what you do.
You want to be an American citizen? You give up. You don't have dual. You know, way.
But that's just it.
We don't honor it.
But that's just it. That's what you do when you take a citizenship oath. You renounce other allegiances formally. That's part of the naturalization process. So you do actually renounce it. But here's the thing. A lot of these dual citizens, knowing that the citizenship laws of the nation that they left will still recognize them as a citizen no matter what oath they take to the United States, so they're able to float back and forth freely to these other countries. So you do.
Is our government honoring that dual citizenship?
Well, here's the reason. Here's the problem. The problem is a diplomatic one, because we cannot set aside the citizenship laws of any other nation. Whatever it is, it is. But we don't have to recognize it if there's a conflict with ours. That's what I think the law should say. Conflict is automatically resolved in favor of the United States where the United States has jurisdiction. That's what the law should say. And I think that would solve the problems right there and also be diplomatically acceptable.
Yes.
Because remember, when you take that, remember, when you take the oath of naturalization, you do renounce other allegiances.
Yeah, but not just on our end. Like, you know, if you are a citizen of another country, you got to show us proof that you went to your government and you say, I renounce my citizenship. I am no longer a citizenship of this country, period. You know, that
Well, right now, that's not a qualification.
That should be a qualification.
We have to do some legislation.
That your foreign government, wherever you're from, acknowledges that you have revoked your citizenship, you are no longer a citizen of that country, and you have severed that tie completely and make that a requirement if you're going to become a citizen here in the United States.
Well, right now that's not a part of the naturalization process, so they're going to have to, they would have to legislate on that, that you had to go to the other country
and
get a formal formally accepting that you've renounced your citizenship to that country. And right now, that's not part of the naturalization process.
Well, the other thing is you need to surrender your passport to the United States to be officially so you can't have two. You know, if you got dual citizenship, that means you got two passports, one from each country. You know, and if you have a passport, if you have a passport from another country, you're still a citizen of that country, and you have to surrender. It should be that you have to surrender that passport to the United States if you become a U.S. citizen.
Well, I think that's a good idea, but remember, if we have diplomatic relations with that other country.
I would support it 100%.
Well, that would be a good idea, but remember, if we have diplomatic relations with that other country, then your U.S. passport will suffice to get you that other country anyway.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. But you can't have two passports
with other countries. Yeah, I should not be able to be a dual citizen with fucking Australia or anybody else. No, I'm one or the other, not both.
You know what our argument's going to come, don't you? They're going to say, now for me to go into, say, Italy, I got to pay for a visa, which costs about $200 or $300.
Yeah, well, what are you there for? If you want to go to Italy for a vacation, your passport is perfectly fine. You're just there for a fucking vacation. If you're there for another purpose, if you're going to work in Italy, then, yeah, you're going to have to get a fucking work visa in fucking Italy. I don't see a problem with that.
You have to have a –
And your company can fucking pay for it.
You have to have a tourist visa to get to go to Italy. You know, or to most of any other country, you have to get a visa from that country, even though you have a United States passport. Okay, you cannot enter another country that requires you to have a visa to enter.
That's true.
Yeah, but suppose you got family in that country.
You have to have a visa to enter. If you're not a citizen, you have to have a visa to enter that country.
So be it. Get it then.
Now, here's another thing, too.
They usually have laws when it's like to vacations, like, okay, you know, for a vacation, you don't have to have a visa if you're just visiting for a week or 2 weeks or something like that. You don't have to go through the visa process. If you're just there temporarily, your passport usually is honored. If you're just traveling, because no other country wants to restrict tourism. Italy, Greece, all these other countries,
they depend on tourism dollars too. So they're not going to restrict people that just want to take a fucking vacation for a week or visit their family for a fucking week or 2 weeks or something. That if you want to do anything beyond that and you need a visa, streamline the process. If you have family there, and let's say a family member is sick, and you're going to have to stay there more than a week or two, then, yeah, you get the visa for an extended stay.
You have investments in other countries to a certain amount of money, they give you a citizenship. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that easy. Which I hear what you're saying, but it's not that easy. If you invest $50,000 in Ghana, West Africa, they give you citizenship.
But that
at least it's good to see that Ghana has an appreciation of the value of their country's citizenship. I wish this country had the same.
Yeah. I do too.
You act like American citizenship ain't worth nothing. You just show up and claim it.
Well, you got people that's taking advantage of this, and we see that all the time. They sell and auction off access to the United States to purchase things that they normally wouldn't acquire on a circumstance. That's exactly what what Hunter Biden was doing.
Most definitely.
I mean, really what we're talking about here is the New World Order. These are the things that are bringing about this globalist New World Order shit, is allowing the stuff to happen. You know what I mean? It's this dual citizenship, this like, oh, yeah, we'll make exceptions for this and this and this and that. So with all of the exceptions, that basically makes American citizenship worth fucking nothing. There is no sovereignty. There is no control. It means fucking nothing because there are so many exceptions. And you can come here and foreign influence the government. You can be elected to Congress. You can be elected to Senate, even elected to president in the case of Obama. Born in Kenya, Kenyan fucking, he even admitted that he was born in fucking Kenya, not Hawaii. There's fucking video of that. This is where we're at, where we are so influenced that we have no sovereignty anymore.
Hmm. Well, that's for sure, and that's something that has better get straightened out. And again, I think the only president that within my memory that has even the willingness to even examine these matters has been Donald Trump. There hasn't been one like that since I can remember. I can't think of any president that's ever made it a central issue at all. Not one.
Absolutely.
Not even Reagan. Not even Reagan.
Not even Reagan.
Well, hello, all. How you all doing tonight? This is Rob out here in California. And I feel
Robert.
Very passionate about one thing.
Hey.
It's not that with Lori being on the fuck train tonight, I dig that. I mean, she's getting her point across with the F-bomb just jumping in there every time she can get one in, but it's great. She's a very passionate woman. I understand. I dig it.
Yeah.
Here in California, I'm surprised they're not going to have a status for the homeless. Now, they can have a tax status on that, and that would help alleviate a lot of the numbers for homelessness here in California by just giving them a tax, taxing them for panhandling. Because if they could stand in a corner or stand on the corner for a certain amount of time, they ought to be just being taxed for that. It's like a job. And there's ones that have these signs, because I look at the signs, always look and see how well they're sharp, if the cardboard is all ripped up, how veteran there are out there. And those ones, they can get into a certain tax bracket.
Let me get some clarity here. Because I said the word fuck too many times,
that's
you're criticizing
great.
Me?
Good. No, I'm just having fun with
okay.
you.
Okay, okay. But no, I get it.
No, you're right.
Panhandling, nobody earns enough money panhandling to even get to the threshold for having to pay taxes. You know, even with federal, you get $15,000 as an exemption just as a one person, single person. Who the fuck makes more than $15,000 panhandling? And then you also have, you know, other credits. So if you make under that minimum threshold, you know, nobody makes that much money panhandling, or very few.
I've seen these guys on these 10 speeds around here, and I'm telling you, these bikes are expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And they can afford it, because this one guy, he jumped on a bike one night, and I couldn't believe he was actually getting on it, and it was a Cannondale. Those bikes are at least $5,000. And he got on there, and I saw him go with his buddies around the corner. They all grabbed their gear, and they're heading off to another area to work. And I was just like, oh, my God, I'm doing the wrong thing. But I know what you're saying. I'm just – it's getting to the point where they're making a lot of money out here.
Yeah, but it's not just one person, though, either. You know, so if it's a group of people that are doing this, you know, then when you spread that apart, you know, each individual is still under that threshold. You know, how can you tax that? And you know what? By the way, if that's what they got to do to survive under this environment, under our fucking government, then kudos to them, man. You know, really, kudos to them.
You wouldn't
that's
mind
what
if
they got to do
enough
to survive and not be fucking taxed to hell, and just survive. Then hey, fucking all the power to them, man.
So they wouldn't mind if they got unionized.
How would they? They're not a company. They're a group of individuals going together, and they panhandle. You know, people donate. It's all voluntary. Nobody.
That's
they're
true.
Not forcing anybody to hand them that five fucking dollars on the exit ramp.
That's true.
That's right. They don't have to accept $5. They accept $10.
Exactly. It's all legal. I have no fucking problem with that. No problem at all. If that's what they got to do to survive. Hell, shit. You know, hook me up with those people because I might be in the same fucking position here not too long. You know, where I'm going to have to fucking try to panhandle and come up and scrape up with fucking money. You know? And hey, if having a nice high-scale bike helps me fucking do it, you know? It. And I can evade taxes. You know what? I am perfectly fucking fine with people that evade taxes. Hell yeah. We shouldn't be paid on our, we shouldn't have to pay taxes on our fucking labor anyway. You shouldn't have to go over the little guy. You shouldn't have to hire fucking 86,000 fucking IRS agents to go after the middle class. Even though you're saying you're only going after the rich to pay their fair share, even though they already fucking do. fuck that. No, I have no fucking problems with that. You know what I mean? And if you're taken advantage of, you give that $5 or $10 or something to somebody that's panhandling, that's on you. That's your choice. That's not on them.
Yep.
Good point, Lori.
Even, you know, not a long time ago, but, you know, I think it was last year, a little bit before Christmas, there's this homeless guy kind of regularly hangs out at the liquor store. And, you know, I came out and I had a little bit of cash in my pocket and I gave him like 10 bucks. I'm like, here you go. Get yourself a bottle or whatever. Merry fucking Christmas. You know, I get it. You know, I get it. Times are hard and yeah, you want to fucking have a drink. Get yourself a fucking pint. I don't care. You know, you can go to fucking Burger King and get yourself a meal, or you can, you know, walk into the liquor store and get yourself a pint. I don't fucking care. Here's $10. And he was like, God bless you. Like, fuck, whatever. You know, it's hard times. I get it. I fucking get it. It's up to you.
One night,
it's
I
my choice
out,
what if I give him that $10 or not.
Burger, waiting for my meal, and I just got off of work. I was tired as hell, and, you know, I didn't look the greatest. So I'm just standing there waiting outside, and then these kids, like, younger than me. I'd say they're just, you know, like, early 20s, if anything. And they hit me up and asked me if I need money for food. And I looked at him. I go, no, I have my receipt. I'm just waiting for my meal. That's about it. And they go, oh, okay, we just thought you look, you know, you look tired, you look hungry. I thought we'd just help you out. And I was like, well, thanks a lot. I appreciate that. But, you know, you guys can, you know, keep it for yourselves or do whatever you want. And thank you again. It threw me off.
I bet it'd throw you off even more if it happened today.
But some people still have some passion.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's the whole thing, too. It's like, you know, people will donate to these charities and keep donating to them, even though these charities pay their CEOs, like, goo-goo bucks, and they're, you know, and they know that only maybe 25%, if they're lucky, 50% of what they donate actually goes toward the cause. They'll freely donate that shit, but they're too afraid to hand $5 to a homeless person because the homeless person might not use it for food. They'll use it to, you know, buy a fucking shot at the liquor store. Like, what the fuck? You know, look at the hypocrisy of that. You know, you won't give it to somebody on the fucking street that's truly homeless and has to live in a fucking tent, you know, and bundle themselves in the middle of fucking winter. You won't give them $5, but you'll donate $100 to a charity that obviously maybe if you're lucky, $2 out of your 10 actually goes toward the cause to help somebody.
Yeah.
That's the hypocrisy.
You shut them up again.
Why do I have a tendency to do that? I even shut up Sarge. You know, Sarge usually, like, anyway.
I pulled my money out to see if I had $2.
Look, I got news for you. Now, these people are the exception. I am not saying this is common because it isn't. But they got some talented panhandlers out there who make close to six figures a year panhandling. I've seen them in Chicago. There were exposés done on them, and there are a few. Now, it takes extraordinary talent and hard work, which is ironic about it, but they're out there making a whole bunch of money panhandling.
Yep.
Believe it.
Good for them. If they're that fucking talented, good for them.
Well, I just want you to know, it does happen. It does happen. So, you know, and then
you know,
and
me,
then
I know that you guys have like some of you have donated to my PayPal and stuff, and then I've even shown you what I, you know, like, hey, what you donated for me, I actually spent on what I said I would. You know what I mean? You know, if you help me with something, like, here's what I spent my fucking money on, you know.
Yep.
I want to show the people that help me, you know, that I put the money toward what they intended the money to go toward. You know, that's the case with Donnie and Cinnamon when they helped fund, you know, my year of Blog Talk, and Sarge, you contributed so that I could keep my internet, which, of course, is a threat now. Because I only paid 1 month, but you helped you, because of you, you know, I still have internet. And, you know, like, and I told you, I'm like, here's, you know, yes, here's what you gave me and here's what I spent it on. you know, so if anybody wants to, you know, say, hey, Lorianne, you know, I'm going to donate this money to you to go toward this, I'm going to spend it on what you intended on, and I don't want to abuse that. But when somebody's panhandling, you don't fucking know. If they're on the corner of the street, you don't fucking know where that money's going to go.
Yep.
You're never probably going to even see them again. But nevertheless, you hand them that dollar or that $5, and, hey, you know, it's up to them. And if they end up making a whole bunch of money off of it, well, shit, you know, hook me up with those people because I might be homeless and I might be living out of a tent, and I sure as shit would like to fucking earn, you know, thousands of dollars panhandling and not pay taxes on it. You know what I mean? Like, fucking hook me up.
Well, I figure this money's fungible anyway. You know, when I gave you the money, I didn't attach any strength to it, and I figured that, but knowing you and how much you love being on the air, I was reasonably certain that you're going to spend it for the purposes that you said so. So in your case, it's simply a matter of knowing you and your particular personality and character that made me draw such a conclusion. Now, obviously, I'm not going to do it with everybody because I don't know everybody that well to make that sort of conclusion. But with you, I think I could make it and be reasonably certain it would be so.
Yes, and that's exactly why, you know, I sent you like, yep, you know, you gave this money to me so I could, you know, keep my internet and keep my show going, and that's exactly what I did. And I'm like, here you go, here's confirmation, this is what your money went for. You know, because I wanted you to have faith that you didn't waste that money. You're a friend, you know. Especially when it's somebody that's a friend, I want to make sure that that friend knows that, you know, I'm not just, you know, spending that money frivolously. You know what I mean? You gave it to me for a purpose, and I spent that money on that purpose. And that's how I am with everybody. And, you know, and I just want you to know I so appreciate it. Of course, you know, here I am. It's the next month, and I'm in the same situation. But yet, you know, it's kept me going so far. And at least I should be able to do my show, hopefully on Sunday. And I still have internet until the end of the month because they're demanding, you know, the next payment. So yeah, that's my financial situation. I'm playing it by ear every fucking time. But anybody that, you know, helps me with money for something, you know, even my dad, you know, he gives me money for something. I send him confirmation that, you know, okay, Dad, you know, you helped me with this. Here's confirmation that I applied the money you gave me towards the thing you intended. And that's on my own integrity. You know, and I don't want to violate anybody's trust. I don't want to violate anybody's sense of, you know, wasting their money because I know how valuable their money is because every fucking dime that I spend is, you know, it goes for a purpose. Anyway, so Sarge, you know, I immensely appreciate, you know, that you helped me out. I wouldn't have internet right now if it wasn't for that. And that's why I emailed you confirmation, like, yep, here's what you gave me, and here's what I spent it on. That's the least I can do just because I want to show integrity. And integrity is something that's getting really, really devalued lately, don't you think?
Yep.
Yeah, and in short supply as well.
Yeah, where is integrity gone? You know, if somebody donates or gives you money for something, you know, Sarge, you didn't ask me to validate it. I just offered it. Isn't that something that just should be, like, fucking normal? Hey, I need help with this to pay for this. And then somebody goes, okay, I'll help you out. You know, it just shouldn't even be a thing for me to go, okay, great, thank you for helping me, and here's confirmation that I used your money towards the thing that you decided to help me out on. Like, mm-hmm. It's so fucking simple. You know what I mean? It's so fucking simple. It wasn't demanded of me. I offered it up. Like, here you go. Here's confirmation. Your money wasn't wasted. That's what a friend does. You know what I mean? It's called integrity. And we need to fucking value that more.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't need the government involved. Good Lord, you know, because, you know, if Sarge, if you had, you know, PayPal'd me any more than $600, then the government would get involved. They would report that to the IRS, and now we got to fucking justify it with the fucking IRS.
Yep, and they would do it, believe me. Before everything goes to heck in a handbasket here, I'm glad that all of you were here tonight. This has been a good show. I can remember when I first started it, and I had to do a 2-hour show. It was like I really had to work to find enough to cover a 2-hour show. Now it seems like they're just throwing it out there to see who will pick it up or who see what will stick. And it's just not as hard anymore.
So much that's gone on that's hard not to talk about. There is no lack every week of shit to talk about. Really. There is our government failures.
Every week. You mean every day.
Normal.
There every
every
hour.
Day, yeah.
Absolutely
my
right.
My phone ring, I look and see it. Sorry, sometimes I start to run.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed your show, Robert, especially being in the chat room when you're going off with your topics, and then I throw something in the chat room and you read it off and then kind of throw you off a little bit there. And Suzette would tell me, she goes, doggone it, why do you keep doing that to him? He's on a roll. And you always take him away from the topic and everything. Like, why am I trying to do it on purpose?
What a latest surprise I got today. Joe Biden amended the Constitution. God damn.
Yeah. Yep. Without the proper channels to do it, he did it anyway. Heck with it.
Time in his farewell speech, he complained about the oligarchy.
Oh, man.
What the fuck?
He's something else, I'll tell you.
I got to say, y'all, Pianki, I fucking love you. Sarge, I fucking love you. Robert, fucking love you. You know, it just, thank you for letting me rant. Because like I said, I don't know if I'll even have a show on Sunday with Blog Talk the way it is. And Donnie and Cinnamon and everything else, you know, everybody, you know, even Nathan. Where's Nathan at? Yeah, it's been a good show. There's so much to talk about, so much to continue talking about.
Yep.
So, Robert, I hope that I can, you know, I'm honored that you still want me to co-host even
sure.
after Blog Talk dies.
Well, you know,
I might even end up doing my show on your channel for a while.
That
you
would
never
be
know.
Fine. It's paid for, so it's there. And the way I look at it is the more shows I can get on there, the more hours we can get and the better we can actually get because, you know, your show, well, my show, and Black by Color Only, when he gets in there, that's three shows right there. We're almost to that first point where we can go up to 3 hours. So it wouldn't take much and get a bunch of shows in there. And
yeah, poor Spreaker just fell off the grid too.
Yeah, they did. I saw that.
Yeah, Robert, what is the deal with Spreaker?
Well, Suzette's show, she was telling me that the whole broadcasting any shows that you can't contradict with shows. You got to stay on your topic. You can't. It's like YouTube.
Yeah.
On steroids.
Mike, I don't get it. Like, was there some kind of communication or like a link? Like, I don't get it because I was trying to find it. And I'm like, did they change their terms of service? And what's the deal with that? Like, how is Spreaker actually really changing things and limiting people? And of course, that's under iHeartRadio, you know.
Right. Well, just the format of her show that you can't. Oh God, what do I say? She told me contradict other shows.
That means we can't be human.
Exactly. It's really bad.
What do you mean contradict other people's shows?
You can't talk about other people's shows in a bad way. You can't be negative.
Can't be like Brother Warren?
Brother Warren?
Right, no way at all.
Where he dedicated shows to target Pianki and then called me a white girl with white tears, lesbian, yeah.
No,
and,
those days are
you know,
over.
But that's the kind of things that, you know, actually I can't really object against that. If you're going to fucking dedicate your shows toward attacking other hosts, like Brother Warren did, and making false accusations and slandering and stuff, then what's the objection? He was slandering me. He was
slandering us all, yeah.
He dedicated shows to slandering Pianki and me and Sarge. He dedicated shows to that. What's wrong with that? That's fucking slander.
And he went after me, too, on a couple of shows. So,
Spreaker's going to, limit. You know, Speaker's going to cut down on that. Speaker's going to go, no, you can't go slandering and talking shit about other people like that and falsely accusing people of stuff. What's wrong with that?
Well, that's funny you'd say that because at that time, and then he got kicked off because a certain somebody in the crowd right now called in BTR and got him kicked off, which is great. BTR started having problems. The shows just started having their formats get screwed up. And it just as soon as he was gone, all that started.
Maybe he did it.
I have a feeling he could have. And, you know, Mike from Singapore, he's kind of iffy myself about, you know, when he comes on the shows.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess, I don't know, in this case, I mean, I don't know the extent of it, you know, and I went to try to find Spreaker's terms of service and stuff, and they really fucking bury it, you know what I mean? Like, they don't make it easy.
Well, you have a hard time finding Suzette shows?
No, I'm signed up with, you know, I'm actually signed up with Suzette Show.
Oh.
I follow,
gotcha.
But I don't even get email notifications. I don't get email notifications. I'm on Spreaker, follow her fucking show, but I never get email notifications. But if they're going to limit the ability for, one host to slander and attack and dedicate a show, you know, or multiple shows toward attacking another host, I think that's perfectly reasonable, because that's exactly what Brother Warren was doing. And that's exactly why Blog Talk took him down, because that's what he was doing. And he did it toward me as well. And he was racist about it. You're just crying white woman tears, white woman lesbian tears. I'm like, I'm not a fucking lesbian. Now you're going after my sexual orientation? You know, I'm not even a lesbian. What the fuck? You know, and that it was slander. It was lies. And yeah, you know, if Freaker is going to like not allow that, I support it, actually, because that's illegal. You can't be spreading fucking complete lies. You know, I like the dick. The fact that Brother Warren, you know, was calling me a fucking lesbian, white woman tier fucking lesbian, you know, on multiple shows, and then he was dedicating shows hating on Pianki. Like, what? You know, like, he fucking deserved it. He deserved to be deplatformed. That's fucking slander. There's laws against that. So why is Freaker wrong for implementing a policy to enforce that? That's what I don't
know. And
get
the worst thing
what
about it was
that?
He tried to posit himself as
no,
a victim, man. That was the worst thing he did. He actually tried to act like he was a victim of malicious slanders against him and people who wanted to be, just didn't want to hear his particular brand of truth. That was the most manly thing about it to me. Claim victimhood.
Exactly. I never ever, you know, said anything against him with in regard to race or anything like that, ever. But he called me a racist, crying white bitch, fucking tears, lesbian, you know, like, what? You know?
Oh, he was quick with insult. Oh, yeah. He was quick with insults and vindictive.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he didn't hold back on that, nigga. Especially because when I first called into the guy's show, he was reasonable. We had disagreement. We didn't agree about nothing, but we went at it reasonably. And I thought, okay, this is a guy I can have interlocution with. And, you know, well, we don't have to agree, but we can present our sides of the argument and everything can be cool. But as I repeatedly called in and I repeatedly bested him, and I'm not bragging, I did, and he got increasingly frustrated that I wouldn't accept his corrupt premises, which really made him mad, because I was able to take them. Every time he made them, I would go into great detail and tear them apart. And he became frustrated as a result of it. That's when his fangs came out and he got nasty. That's when all the comedy and the civility left. And from then on out, it was Katie by the door.
You and I are friends. That's why he attacked me, you know, but yet, you know, I'm just crying white girl tears and, you know,
but believe me,
I'm a fucking lesbian.
Guy,
and
or he'll be
like
nice
that.
To you.
Like,
he'll be nice to you if
yeah.
he thinks that you will accept his point of view and treat him as a great sage and don't challenge his viewpoint. Or he'll be fine then. He'll get along with you just fine. He'll even compliment you. But Lord have mercy, don't you dare make him look stupid. He can't tolerate that. That's when he goes off the rails. That's when he went off the rails on me. Yeah, I mean, you could go back and listen to the shows I was on with him, and I talked to him, and like I said, we got along just fine at first. But as I said, you know, I would
same with me.
Use fact
same
and
with
truth.
Me. I got along with him and even agreed with him on many things, you know. And
yeah.
then the minute I disagreed with him, and the minute you disagreed with him, and then I disagreed with him, then all of a sudden, you know, he's being oppressed and we're racist and,
yeah.
you know, he plays the
or
victim.
Coons.
You know, he was...
Or coons. And like,
I
don't make him look
guy
good.
That
is the worst
control.
Thing. For him, the most unforgivable thing is to be made to look bad. He cannot, ego won't allow him to admit that he
I
can be bad.
I swear to God, if, I would not be surprised if he was not a paid troll to do exactly what he did.
I mean, did you not notice how often he made appeals to authority?
Every time we were making legitimate points or having legitimate discussion, he came in, thwarted it every time, insulted everybody that disagreed with him, you know, personal attacks, you know, everything. Like, he did, like, are you government paid or what? You know, I mean, he just used every tactic.
But did you not notice how regularly he would make appeals to authority, and he talked about all the people who had all these degrees and credentials, and they agreed with him and all of that? I mean, he regularly did that, especially when he was losing. He would make, I mean, he would constantly make appeals to authority in an attempt to diminish your opinion, because after all, you can't possibly compete with these people with all of these degrees and all of this specialized aptitude. I mean, it was amazing the way he did it. It never ended with him.
Well, you know, I mean, there is such a thing as paid influencers, where people on both sides of the political party pay people to be an influencer. And a lot of times, the Arbor effect. If you look on YouTube, the Arbor effect. The mm-hmm. Kamala Harris campaign wanted to pay Nicole Arbor to promote their propaganda, and she refused. And Kamala had a, you know, put it this way, she felt the ramifications of Kamala, but she would not succumb. And she was like, she was invited to this thing, and she talks about on her channel, Nicole Arbor, how she was invited to this thing, and there were so many other podcast influencers out there that signed up to basically promote Kamala's shit, and she refused. And then they gave her a whole bunch of shit. She went through a whole bunch of shit for refusing to go along with the Kamala campaign's bullshit that they were trying to bribe her of.
Uh-huh. Are you saying that she felt the wrath of Kamala?
Yes, she did.
Oh.
And she didn't do it. She didn't do it. But the Arbor effect, A-R-B-O-U-R-E, I think, Arbor effect.
I see.
I've been watching her. She's, you know, she's been around for a while. And she's like this really hot, like, you know, blonde girl, but she's been through a lot of shit. But her fucking, you know, she is so funny at the same time, you know, and she just puts it out there like it is. You know, it's just, yeah, she's awesome. She's awesome. But she did this whole fucking, like, 90-minute video on how the Kamala campaign tried to fucking bribe her, you know, and pay her off, and she refused. And how they made life hard for her for a little while afterwards.
Well, good for her.
And fucking crazy.
Good for her maintaining her sense of integrity. You have to applaud that. It's kind of hard to do these days.
Exactly. She wasn't, you know, sold out to that, you know. But, yeah, and, you know, and she's a gorgeous woman. She really is. But the woman has been through hell and back. Which is why I respect her, you know, but she's also a comedian. So, you know, she's kind of like, I've equated Nicole Arbor to similar like J.P. Sears, you know, mm-hmm. female version of J.P. Sears. But Nicole Arbor, the Arbor effect. You got to watch some of her older shit, too. She's on it, man, she's on it, and she is just funny as motherfuck, and she just puts it how it is, and this is my opinion, and fuck you, and, you know, disagree with that, agree with that, I don't fucking care. Yeah.
Well, you know, the Democrats don't have, that I can see, any legitimate candidates for the office of president, and Republicans could challenge Kamala Harris' standing based on the documents that's been presented and researched by someone
as common as Candace Owens on her legitimacy of being even a 14th Amendment citizen, but they won't do it. If I had an opportunity to, if I had an opportunity to snuff for good their candidate, I would have done it. But no, they let them resuscitate them with new breath so they can come back and fight you and haunt you again.
What's the hide?
Well, I tell you what, the constitutional eligibility issue is the one issue that dare not speak its name publicly in any appropriate venue. That's just the way things are right now. Thou shalt not speak of ineligibility.
Sorry.
It's a great taboo in American politics. Thou shalt not.
Well, another taboo is Social Security. And I thought I was muted earlier. You probably heard me open and shut my door to let my dog out, and I kind of burped a little bit. But anyway, sorry about that if I did. Oh, man. There are so many things, and I had a thought in my head, and I was starting to talk about it along the same lines of what you were saying, and now it's exited my brain.
You say it's Social Security.
Oh, yes, Social Security. Ah, thank you, Pianchi. I want to know why nobody has the balls to fucking touch Social Security. There was on Facebook that I saw this thread between a Democrat friend of mine, and, you know, Social Security is, you know, not socialism. And I actually agreed with her in a certain extent. I'm like, right now, by mandating it by the government to every fucking paycheck to contribute to Social Security is socialism. But nobody has the fucking balls to touch it. Social Security does not need to be eliminated. It needs to be voluntary. You need to have an opt-in or opt-out. And if you're wealthy, you know, like, you know, hey, I've contributed it to my whole life and now I'm wealthy and I'm retiring and I don't need that fucking $1,200, I should be able to opt out and go, you know what, use that $1,200 for somebody that actually does need it, that, you know, doesn't make a lot of money. I have enough. I got like I'm retiring and I got fucking $5 million in the bank. I don't fucking need the Social Security, even though I paid into it. You should be able to opt out, make it voluntary, you know. And a lot of the rich people out there, like if you talk to celebrities and you talk to people that are wealthy, they're like, I don't want I don't need the Social Security benefits. I've got plenty of fucking money, you know. I don't need it. And so if they could opt out and just have their funds go back into the main fund to fund the people that need it, and they do it voluntarily, then there's no issue, you know. There's no fucking issue. And if you regulate it, like, guess what? Okay, so they can borrow from Social Security and only pay back 5% interest. No. 5% interest is lower than a lot of people's mortgage interest or your vehicle loan interest or any other fucking interest you pay for any other fucking loan you ever take out. And so why should the government pay a lower interest when they borrow from the Social Security fund? Yeah, they pay it back plus only 5%. Bullshit. No. You know, because if that money was invested and was sitting there, you know, that you're putting into it, earning 7 to 9% interest on average over fucking 30 years, you know, you'd be making a hell of a lot more money than when they borrow from it and only pay you back only 5% or 4%. Whatever the fuck they decide, that, you know, you know, these reforms can be made, and it isn't socialism versus whatever. If it's voluntary, and, you know, okay, yeah, okay, I'll volunteer to put money into a retirement account in case when I'm old and, you know, life's been fucked up to me and I need it, like an insurance policy, you know, but it should be voluntary. And it should be like the government should not be able to borrow from it and pay it back on pennies when all of that money could have made a hell of a lot more dividends if it had just been kept the way it was supposed to be, an untouched fucking trust account, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and being able to opt out of it. Like, if I won the fucking lottery and I don't need it, then, yeah, I'll opt out. Give that $1,200 a month to the fucking people that need it for disability, for the, you know, widows and the kids or whatever. You know, give that money to them. Fuck it. You know, I don't need it. I should be able to opt out as well as opt in. You know, there's so many reforms that could be made, but nobody fucking wants the balls to even touch it.
Mm-hmm.
Democrat, Republican, nobody. No, even Trump even said, don't touch Social Security when he was president. Don't even fucking go there. Don't touch it. Trump himself, when he was president, did not want anybody reforming or proposing anything, you know, to change Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. Why is Social Security so untouchable?
Because it's not about Social Security. It's about government control and power now. That's why. If it was about Social Security, all of these reforms would have been implemented. But it's no longer that way. It's a slush fund for people, for Congress to play around with. You don't have a Social Security account. There's no money in an account for you. It's all about keeping these government, and it's an issue that these politicians can keep alive to exploit for the people who are fearful of losing it. It's not about Social Security. If it was, this thing would have been fixed a long time ago.
Hey, I got to call it a night. Thank you for letting me get in the discussion. And we'll talk to you guys when we talk again.
It was good to have you.
I should have let you in more. I'm sorry, Robert.
No, you're fine.
I didn't let you talk more. I took over. I'm sorry.
You're fine. I got to go to the store.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.